That's video from Tom Monroe and his tribute to life in the big city. Downtown's the place to be. From Tom's disc entitled Tom Monroe Sings Petula Clark. Little help from Mike McDonald and the Doobies on that one. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Whoops, we got the wrong super up there. Let's try that. On the Jerry Todd Show, there we are. Good morning in the wee small ones of a Saturday morning. We've got some fine video for you and a little chat and hopefully lots of fun. And we'll have some more video for you, but first, let's pay some of those bills.
I watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
How are you anyway? Jerry Todd with you. Glad you're along for the ride. Maybe you're at home this morning, or at work, or just around about anywhere enjoying the fine video. Meantime, let's look after some business. We provide this as kind of a public service of the Jerry Todd Show. It's from the community chest, and it's a lost dog announcement. If you're in the vicinity of Ellesmere and Morningside, be on the lookout for a little lost doggy. If you're in the vicinity meantime, keep your eyes open for the little doggy, and we'll see what we can do. Meantime, on the Jerry Todd Show, whoops, that's the second time we've done that this morning. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Let's see if we can get a different color on that this morning. For these are called supers, you see, because they're in front of the picture. Let's see what we can come up with here. That's kind of nice. I like that. I'm the Jerry Todd Show. Nice to be with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Doggy.
Thank you, Jerry Todd.
Little lost doggy.
Jerry Todd.
Todd.
Boy, I needed to buy a second because they've got the computers refigured in here and they've got stuff sticking out. And
constantly fine-tuning.
Mike and I were outside out front of the radio station with, as I will affectionately refer to them as creepy people.
The creepy convention this year, their annual picnic outside the studio on the Jerry Todd Show.
Yeah, the people from... like creepypeople.com.
Right. No, they're just people who enjoy the show. They come here every year.
They're not just people who enjoy the show.
No one's ever been injured or arrested.
I'm sure they are, but for some reason, I do want to go out and say hi and say thanks for supporting the show. One guy said he drove all the way from South Carolina to be here.
I say one thing. Print them. Print every one of them. Get their prints.
Did they bring a half bushel of peaches this year?
They did.
They did, really?
They brought peaches.
They did last year.
And they brought a present for you.
They did. Oh, for all of us.
Really?
Oh, how nice.
And for Rob specifically.
Yeah. Oh, there's one for Rob. You will have to go out and get it yourself.
Wonderful.
Mike and I, the peach
with the razor in it.
Mike and I didn't want to receive such a fabulous gift.
No.
In your steed.
Is it sizey?
For your heady, yes it is.
Oh, I see. Now I'm with you.
There you go.
And now that we're talking about these people, the creepy people, this will be the only time that we talk about it. Yes, creepy is affectionate, but
yes.
They're people who like write under fake names on the internet and stuff.
Oh, well, that is creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy.
It's an unusual gathering because I think most of them have not seen the sun this year. Or any year.
Or previous years. Let me mention to any creepy people, though, who are out front of the radio station from the creepy people site.
With their charcoal.
If you're going to be in the D.C. area, may I recommend...
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Wouldn't that be a great spot?
Oh, that'd be nice.
head over there?
Yeah, go ahead.
So,
I've not been out to see the creepy people. I'm curious, have they been observing the rules of cuddle parties?
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
paying attention.
No dry humping.
Not a chance, Robbie.
They paid attention to hygiene.
not a chance.
No nudity.
Not a chance on all accounts. No hygiene, no nudity, no nothing.
No dry humping.
However, from a guy named Jason, one of the creepy people out there, this is a great gift. This truly is. And we are going to hang this on our wall.
Absolutely.
If we can.
So nice.
It is it's a headstone.
It's like marble, yeah.
A piece of marble. This thing is freaking heavy.
Yeah.
And beautifully or ornately done, it has a hawk on the top, and it says, Carmi, 1981 to 2004. The CBS hawk. And, of course, that's for Mel.
That right. is nice.
That's for Mel.
That's his little epitaph there.
That was our fake name for Mel when we couldn't talk about him for a while. We talked about Carmi.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we referred to him as Carmi, and that's his tombstone.
Remember that when we would say, oh, there's Carmi. And then we'd throw one of Mel's cufflinks up in the air.
Right, and swoop down and catch it.
Very good.
Like that.
Got it
again.
Anyway, that was very thoughtful and very wonderful. And we will put this on the studio.
Sure.
Even though it came from the creepy people. And listen, this is from my ticker, creepy people. Normally the stuff that you bring, I treat it like that movie Outbreak.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
However,
you immediately quarantine it.
This is quality. This is good. This will go on the wall of the studio. That I promise you.
It's a lovely, lovely gift.
No camera inside or anything.
It's very
little
nice.
Lost daggy.
Don't think so. think so, Buzz.
Okay.
Anyway, hi to the creepy people outside. Boy, do I got an agenda for you today. Get ready. We got a jam-packed show.
No, Rob, that won't work with a thumbtack. It's made out of stone.
Rob, that's a gigantic, big, like, headstone. You know, maybe, yeah, very heavy. Very heavy. Could do some damage with that.
Yeah.
You could.
You could raise that above your head and bring it crashing down on someone else's head.
You could.
If you chose to, if there was someone who motivated you to do that.
Yeah, if you were to drop it, I'm sure it would crack. It would probably be
may I hold
touch screen.
I can't think of anyone who I would want to drop that on.
Beautiful piece of dark gray marble.
Man, this is heavy.
Yeah, isn't it?
God,
it's like professionally done. So thank you again, Creepy People from CreepyPeople.com.
Carmi, 1981 to 2004, the CBS Hawk.
That was very nice of them.
It was. Thoughtful.
One, two, three, four. Okay, because it's Friday. Because we care. Really, the best groaners today.
Oh, yeah. Good. You saved the best for last.
The best of the week.
That's great.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Drysdale.
I'm Milburn Drysdale, and I'm happy as a clam waiting for some groaners today.
This is Super Shad. What classic rock star lives a modest life?
What?
Bob Meager.
Oh, my God.
Hello. Happy Friday. How are you? Super Shan. Mr. Drysdale?
Yes, Mr. Shannon.
Who's the most religious classic rock band?
I don't know who.
Grand Monk Revival.
Jerry Todd.
Who is Jerry Todd? I am Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Super Shan.
To some groaners.
Ooh. What is Mike Ditka's favorite 1960s sitcom?
What?
La Vitra to Beaver. And
God.
Listen, kids out there, and you creepy people out there who I know all desperately in some form want to be in showbiz, here's my tip to you. Always close with your best one.
You got the strongest one coming up here?
Good. Hello. Super Shad. What condition does Mike Ditka suffer from after eating a spicy meal?
What, Mr. Shannon?
Flaccid reflux.
Oh, hey now.
Okay. The Don and Mike Show.
Wow. I'm just saying it was the best of the worst.
I know.
You kind of took it out of me.
Relevant.
Gotcha.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Damn straight. And...
Hi there, Julia, and here he is.
True story. He's a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Oh, and hold on. There you go, Robbie.
Ever since you've handled that fake headstone, am I the only one who's itching? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Cloud, and all the ships at sea. Think of all the good they've done. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Friday.
Friday 07/16/04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hey, that was flawless.
That's dedicated to the Creepy Peepy.
Yeah, they're out there.
Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Friday. It's July 16.
July.
20-04. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on our station WJFK. Call 202-432-1067. Okay, many things that I want to get to now. Thank you for this time in this public forum so I can tell you that I think Martha Stewart has stones.
How so?
I watched today all of the junk going on with Martha Stewart. I waited for her to come out of the courtroom. I saw the reporter saying she was crying in front of the judge. Here's why Martha Stewart has stones.
Tell me, because I don't understand.
Here's why. She's a bitch. But I have to say, I love this bitch. I admire this bitch.
Wow.
She's got stones. So she goes in, and you know the story, she's going to do 5 months in prison, then she's got 5 months where she has to be locked in her house.
Backbreaking.
And then she's going to have some, like, probation.
Couple of years. Oh, the poor thing. Yeah.
But she doesn't have to go to the Huskow for 5 months.
Yeah, 5 months. It's a slap on the wrist.
I understand, but now, this is why, I'm telling you, why I love this woman. Now, all of the analysts have been saying anywhere from 6 to 16 months. Hell, maybe 20.
Yeah, I thought it was 10 to 16 months.
Maybe 24 months.
Yeah.
You know, if she's lucky, she'll get some of this. So she goes in front of the judge and reads the letter and cries and talks about the people in her company that have been put out of work. And who knows, the judge probably had, is it a woman judge or a
man? Yes, a woman judge.
She probably had her mind made up already, but who knows, maybe it's waiter. She says, okay, that's it, listen. 5 months in the Huskow. That's the bottom line. Then 5 months locked in your house, then you go see a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pay some fine.
$30,000.
So Martha Stewart cries, you know, on cue. Then she's leaving. And she's leaving the courtroom. And
I think I know where you're going.
And I'm thinking she's not even going to go near the microphone.
No.
Lay low. I happen to be watching because I've got DirecTV and I've got some of the channels that, you know, I get from CBS.
Right.
I'm watching WCBS in New York where they're covering every second of this, so it's not like what you're seeing on
the
network.
Right.
I see Martha Stewart come out of the courtroom smiling. She comes down to the microphones. And there's only, normally there's a pool like where there's five or six of them at a press conference.
Right.
There's one microphone. And not all the stations are on the air yet. So, you see her. Now, she's just come out of court.
Right.
She. The first thing she does is she goes, is this on? There's only one. But how are they all going to get the feed for TV? There's only one. Oh, and then someone says, Martha, it's a pool. They're all going to be using the same microphone. Only one microphone.
Right.
All right, that's good. Okay, so just one microphone. All of this is on the air on WCBS.
Concerned with tidiness.
So, by now, all the networks break in.
So she's controlling the situation once again.
Listen to this. Is this woman, I mean, she's just got it in a business sense. Maybe what could be the worst day of her life.
Yeah.
She comes out and she plays these cards so perfectly. The first thing she says is, because she knows it's a soundbite world.
Right.
She says, I'm sorry for what happened. I made a mistake. She said, and this is where it started to get a little slippery. She said, I'm really sorry that what happened is that a private personal matter that had nothing to do with all of my companies has now forced over 200 people at whatever the name of her company is to lose their jobs. To them, I'm sorry. To them, I want to repay them. I worry about them. And I want to thank everybody for the letters of support, over 1,000 letters of support I received. And then here was the key. She said, and over 170,000 emails received on talktomartha.com or whatever the website
is. She gave a plug.
Yeah. Now, but wait, hold on. Hold on, because it gets worse. This is why she's got stones. She says, and again, thinking about the families that have been put out of work, a lot of people have wondered how they can help support Martha Stewart. And she did a lot of talking to herself in the third person. She said, Martha Stewart, the person, will be fine. But Martha Stewart Enterprises deserves to live on. Buy our magazines. They're good magazines. Buy our products. They're good products. The people that are making these quality products, and our magazines are good, and our products are good. You want to keep Martha Stewart, Qualcomm.
She used it as a commercial.
Yeah. And then she's going on for maybe 3 minutes, and finally she stops, and she actually smiles, and she says, well, this is kind of turning into a commercial, and this is not what I had planned.
No, not at all.
No. And I'm watching this, and I'm just thinking, you are, without a doubt, the smartest bitch, and if you were a guy, I would say the smartest son of a bitch that I ever seen. I mean, and the last thing she said, and don't you think I wasn't almost motivated enough to maybe buy a little stock in her company, except I saw it gone up like 25% after she spoke. Yeah. The last thing she says is, I'm going to do my time. I'm used to hard work.
I'm not afraid.
And I will be back.
Right.
And then she walked away and she came back. And again, has the presence to look right in the camera.
Of course.
I will be back. Almost like that, you know, hey, yeah. Don't F with me, fellas. It's not my first time at the rodeo. I sat back in my chair.
Oh,
and I
understand.
I sat back, and I just said, let me say, I was turned on.
Of course.
I was turned on.
Mm-hmm. What an interesting take.
I thought, what stones that the lawyers had to be saying, anybody with a brain had to say, be contrite.
Mm-hmm.
When you come out of there today, say you're going to do your time.
Be humble.
Say you're sorry. Mm-hmm. Maybe even mention the stuff about the families. But all of that stuff was just the setup for the biggest commercial that she could have gotten. Now,
Tire Fredrick.
Now, you won't see it on the news tonight. You'll just see it in sound bites.
Snippets, yeah.
But you had to watch it live, and she knows just what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you like to be the judge?
Right.
So you're the judge that gave her the sentence, a light sentence.
Well, I think really, and most people would agree, a slap on the wrist. It was lighter than really the recommended sentence,
yes.
Right?
You know, I don't know a lot about her charges, white collar crime, whatever it was.
Insider trading and lying about it.
But all I know is that there had been the hype that she could have gone to jail for a long time.
The people she's talking about that are put out of work, as she doesn't give much thought to the people that lost, millions of dollars on the stock loss.
Mike, this is why I love her. She mentioned none of that.
No, of course she did.
She mentioned none of that.
Of course not. It's negative.
So rather than come out and just be contrite and say, hey, I'm sorry. No, you know what she does? And how would you like to be one of her handlers? She's on live television. She's on everything. She's on CNN, Fox News. She's on 4, 5, 7, 9. She's on every channel.
Right.
And she turns it into a commercial, and then she laughs about it.
Uh-huh.
And as she gets into the car, into the waiting Suburban, with the paparazzi, as they're driving away, she's waving at her fans.
Sure.
Goodbye, bye, money fans. Don't forget.
The idiots that are out
don't
there.
Don't forget. Buy my magazine. And I found...
The idiots that are just all about celebrity in America.
Here's what I found. I can't hate her. I want to salute her.
Well, I have a theory on that.
All right, go.
Well, it has nothing to do with whether she's got the guts or whether she used the opportunity. It has everything to do with the way you've always felt about her.
Well, yes.
You have always had the steaming undies for Martha Stewart.
Yeah, I think she's probably... Well,
you always have.
I have to remember we don't do the show that we used to do.
Exactly.
Let me just say, I think...
You said it earlier, so you were finding yourself turned on. You weren't turned on. You were turned on before she spoke.
But Mike, it's the... And I know she's a bitch, and I saw the TV movie with Sybil Shepherd. I know she's an awful woman.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's an awful boss.
No, Sybil Shepherd was an awful actress.
But, God damn. I mean, what man would have the stones coming out of in a situation like that? And I'd say the same thing about a guy.
Do you think if she had gotten a harsher sentence, she would have come out and done that?
I think if she
might have been overcome with grief if she had gotten 24 months.
I think if she got 24 months, she would have come out and the first thing she would have said was MarthaStewart.com. I mean, she would not have led with the preamble about I'm sorry. And
right.
She would have just got right to the commercial.
Sure.
Because that
in a hostile way.
The message that she got out was this. I made it through this, and my products are still out there, and if you bastards think that you're not going to buy my crap at Kmart anymore,
right.
I got news for you. You're going to buy it, and you're going to buy my books, and you're going to buy my books because I'm going to be back, and you watch it, and give me a parking spot for my broom. That's my girl.
What a great take on that. I didn't know you were all charged up about Martha Stewart.
Well, I watched her today, and I thought, what?
You couldn't keep your eyes off her, could you?
But really, what guts?
Did you like her black ensemble that she was wearing?
Lovely. It looked like white cashmere underneath.
Summary.
It was appropriate for the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's Martha Stewart. That's just my dumb take on that.
And as light as the sentence is, it's still 5 months behind bars, 5 months of prison love.
And as
Martha
I
Stewart.
Said to someone, as a person that I was speaking with at lunch today, was indicating they were not satisfied with the 5 month sentence. That she got off lightly. I indicated to this individual that 5 months is plenty of time for her to find a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, for her to be found.
For her to be found.
For her
yeah,
be...
not for her to find a mm-hmm. girlfriend, but for someone to make her.
For love to find her.
For someone to
that's
make
right.
her their girlfriend.
Plenty of
that's
time.
Right.
That's exactly what'll happen.
She won't be looking, but she'll be receiving.
She's going to come out with a much different hairdo.
Oh.
She's going to come out with a mullet.
she'll wear it well.
Sure, yeah, she will.
And,
stylish.
You know, the prison will benefit, too. They'll start putting parsley next to the slot.
Well, that's more.
I really think that, I mean, don't they all, no matter what the prison situation is, even if it's one of those country club prisons, don't they all bunk up? Don't they? I mean, yeah. She doesn't have a private cell.
Well, now, we don't know that. I don't have time to get into this. But
I just like the idea of Martha Stewart in the movie, in the TV show Oz.
Didn't Glenn Campbell get some special treatment?
Yeah, well, Glenn Campbell, the cushiest thing he got was he was able to leave during the daylight hours to attend to his business, whatever the hell that is.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm thinking Martha...
They're saying that her lawyers argued for minimum security and that the judge was not having any of that.
Right.
But, they indicated that she's going to do...
The regular
time
jail.
In a regular
a
detention
prison.
Center.
Right. Yeah. Regular
so.
Jail.
So do you just picture her doing chin-ups?
Lifting weights.
Cornrows.
An interesting kind of chin-up.
Oh.
Perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is lovely. No doubt about that.
For a woman in her 60s, as she is lovely.
Can you imagine that? You're one of the broads in that jail. You've,
sure.
You've never thought, you might read High Gear magazine.
Right.
You might read Sports Illustrated for
right.
women, but you would never, ever pick up Martha Stewart.
No living. Way.
Now you're going to look at it. You know why?
Why?
She's the fresh meat.
Here's the dream scenario.
But she'll, you know what? She'll make the best of that situation.
I was going to say the same thing. If holding to your adulation of this woman today, I will. Maybe she goes into prison, and the true Martha Stewart fantasy story takes place, where she reorganizes the prison, where she gets them into some sort of home economics
she
program.
She gets them doing all the work.
Absolutely. They come out, and she's employing like several ex-cons
her
to work in her enterprises
mm-hmm.
or in her private home.
Who's to say she doesn't end up like one of those airlines, where they hire those people like in India, the guys in jail in India. She doesn't get all of them on the phone going, hey, don't you feel bad for Martha Stewart? Would you like to subscribe to her magazine? Her magazine is really great.
I say that in 5 months she comes out looking like Kurt Warner's wife.
Well, Mike, there's pretty and there's pretty, so watch it. Just watch it because, Brenda Warner,
right.
I want to say, is a beautiful woman. There's only three women, I believe, that I could speak of who have hair similar to Brenda Warner.
Ooh, I wish you could, because that was the only one that I could
there
find
are two
in my
I
Rolodex.
Can think of. One is the world-famous Phyllis Diller.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the other would have to be local reference from Channel 9. What's Lane Closure's mom's name?
Jan Fox.
Yes.
Also, if you go back a few years, he's not a woman, but David Bowie sported the style.
Rod Stewart. Stewart hair.
Rod Stewart,
Martha Stewart comes out, but it's not colored hair anymore. She's not blonde. She comes out snow white Rod Stewart hair.
Sort of like Bob Barker's color, but Rod's style.
And she's wearing like a t-shirt.
with prison tats.
With baggy jeans.
Sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
Fantastic. With cigarettes in the
cigarettes
sleeve.
we can only hope.
Chain wallet.
Listen, here's what's happening. Now, I've just got to fly through this because we're so jam-packed. I have to tell you about the clash at my house that my kid, who is 19, he's 19 and he can do, what he wants.
All grown up.
I mean, I can't, he's obviously there are things he can't do, but he's 19. What are you going to do? He's talked about getting a second tattoo.
He has the character, right? The family character.
Yeah, he has the Japanese character for family on his ankle. We got that when we were down in Miami a couple of years ago.
The Japanese or Chinese?
Same thing. Where they draw pictures.
There you go.
So, he calls me last night, and he says, Dad, I'm in Georgetown, and I'm going to get the tattoo. Now, I said to him, I think it's probably something that you're going to regret. He has said to me over and over again that he wants to get a tattoo, that he knows it's going to be his 19-year-old mistake.
Not My Little Pony.
No, nothing like that.
Right.
He says, but I want to get, as it turns out, what he wants to get is a lightning bolt similar to like the Elvis TCB logo.
Okay.
Or if you remember Shazam.
Right, right. Where's it? On his shoulder?
No. As it turns out, on his inside right wrist.
Oh,
which
my.
Is
a little tender, a little sore.
So, I don't know that this is where he's getting this thing, but he calls. Yeah, thank you. Rob's got it on his Elvis TCB keychain.
Looks like this.
It's got like three sharp things coming out of it, and it's a
lightning bolt.
Yeah, it's about maybe it's an inch and a half big.
Yeah,
and it's about an inch wide. And
but you can wait. But right. if you wear
a long sleeve shirt,
you can work in the
sure.
Right.
Well, what, Robbie?
Or a thick watch.
So anyway, what are you going to do? The kid's 19.
Well, even if he's 19, though, you stop him from getting a tattoo on his neck.
Regardless, Mike, it's his neck. I mean, this is kind of...
I know.
This is where Frida and I part ways as parents. We've worked together, and we're having some tension now over stuff like this, because He did it, and he called me, and I said, well, you know, it's your life. Where'd you get it? He said, on my inside wrist. I said, okay. He said, I'll show it to you when I get home tonight. I said, all right, you know, be safe. You know, be cool. All right, love you. Bye. Click. Then I talked to Frida later. She's already up at the beach seeing her mom, mm-hmm. and I hear from her. She goes, did he call you? And I said, yes. She said, did you hear? I said, yes. She said, what do you think? I said, what are you going to do?
Right.
And that didn't sit well. You know, Frida's upset that he got another tattoo and where it is and the size of it. So this morning, I talked to my wife and I said, you know, here's the deal, honey. Don't be upset about this thing with Bart. You can't control Bart and what he does. Now, all we can do is try to tell him the best thing. I mean, I didn't say it exactly like this, but this was the message I was giving. I was talking with what I thought was a sweet tone of voice.
Okay.
And I said, you know, you're worried about Bart getting his appointment to get his shoulder that he had separated, and you're worried about him getting the tattoo. Just, you know, just whatever happens, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, that's like telling somebody who's on fire, hey, you're on fire. And I said, I don't think so. And then I said, in the same tone, the exact same cadence, I said, you know what, I tried to be supportive during this call, and I'm just trying to get along and trying to help you out through this, and it doesn't sound like it's going that way, and I'm starting to get mad, so I'm just going to hang up. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye. And I hung the phone up. And then, you know, of course, because it's me, I'm looking at the phone now going, she'll call back any second.
Mm-hmm.
She'll call back any second. She'll call back any second. She'll call back any second. All right, what's the number?
And you call her.
So I call. And she goes, hello. I said, hey, what's up? And she said, I'll tell you what's up. I don't like your passive-aggressive. I said, pleased to be explaining how I was passively aggressive. She said, you spoke in a very nice tone of voice, very pleasant, the same tone that you had throughout the entire conversation, and at the very end, when we were talking about this, and you were just telling me something that I thought was rhetoric, so that you were just telling me, don't worry, which really doesn't help me if I'm worried about something, like you could help me anyway. At the very end of it, you said in a very nice way, in essence, what you said was that I was starting to piss you off, so you were going to hang up and goodbye.
Right.
And I said, yes, you know, mm-hmm. affirmative. And here's the question that I have. See, you're screwed either way. If I would have said to her, you know, you're nuts again, like you're nuts, he's 19, let's just deal with it, you know, okay, or, you know, God forbid I had said something like, you know, you're out of your freaking mind, you're crazy, you know, not that I would in this case, but, you know, you're a crazy woman, go to crazy town, you know.
She'd rather have you rant than do what you were doing.
I guess she would. I don't get it. I don't get it, and I didn't even tell her how I let the boy leave the house today. He's off for a day of fun at, I don't know, King's Dominion or something like that. And I said to him, well, now I know from when we got our tattoos, I got a tattoo the same time as he did. I said, you got to make sure you put the ointment on, and if you're going to go to an amusement park, you have to wrap it up. And, and he said, no, I've got it under control, Dad. Here's what I'm going to do. And he showed me. He said, I've got the ointment right here that I'm going to put in my bag.
Right.
I have this roll of saran wrap. What I'm going to do is put the ointment on this, and then I'm going to wrap my arm in saran wrap, and I'm going to put some tape around it. And I said, well, that will probably last for maybe the first ride that you go on, because you're supposed to keep this thing dry.
And actually under a bandage so it can breathe.
Yeah. Well, and I did mention that. He's got the bandage on top of on top of the tattoo, but still it's in saran wrap. And I said, that thing's going to get soaked. And he said, no, that's why I'm bringing this. And he's got a whole tube of it. It appears he's going to go to the amusement park, and after every ride he gets on, in theory, although...
He's going to redress the wound?
Yeah, although I know that that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, he's going to get on the second ride, and he's going to go, I feel like a dork carrying around this
but
thing.
But, you know, the good thing about it, especially if he goes on one of the water rides, it's not like there's any bacteria in that water.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know they take great pride in the purity of the water.
I did not even tell my wife about that conversation that I let him leave the house with his arm wrapped in saran wrap.
Did you get a good look at it?
Yeah, I did.
And about how long is it?
It's about an inch and a half long. It's a small one. See the space in my fingers here?
Right.
That's about how long it is, and it's about that wide, and it is absolutely filled in black all the way.
Oh, solid. It's black.
Solid. Yeah, yeah, solid black.
That'll look good on the E. coli water cannon.
And he got the lightning bolt to symbolize...
You'd have to ask him.
Didn't even ask him?
I'll ask him over the weekend.
Did you feel that if you, in your own psyche, that in your attempt to really, like, parent this way, which is kind of like he can do his own thing, that if you went down a line where you started asking questions that maybe you'd get more concerned or what?
No, I'm afraid that it would be the opposite way. And I would never say this. He can't hear this today. He's away at an amusement park. I think it's stupid, but I think it's cool.
There you go.
I'm sure he will grow out of it. And I was talking about
that's
this.
That's not one that is going to be, to me, I mean, he's got the one on his ankle, right?
Yeah, and now he's got one underneath his wrist. It'll be
fine.
It'll be okay.
The only tattoos, really, when I observe people with tattoos, the only tattoos that I truly have issues with are the neck tattoos. The neck tattoos tell me two things. They tell me, A, prison, mm-hmm. or B, you know, the village idiot.
You didn't mention that to the wrestler who was here yesterday.
Well, did he have him on his neck?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, he's a wrestler that's known for tattoos.
True. Okay.
So anyway, that was my morning with Frida, and we've talked since then. And here's how we're handling this crisis. We've decided that we're just not going to talk about it. So
probably best. What would she suggest you could do if there was anything you could?
I don't think there's anything I can do.
Did she want you to be more upset about it?
I don't know what she wanted. I really don't. I think maybe she did, but there's a part of me. I remember when I was 19. You know what? I'm glad. I'm glad that he doesn't have like a piercing down there or something like that.
But it also seems.
I'm glad he didn't have a swastika on his forehead.
But it also seems to me that he let you know he was doing it, which is, I think,
a line of communication.
And he let Frida know.
Not that that would justify doing anything, but I mean, he did kind of let you know what was going on.
He let Frida know as well, so that's what's going on.
Do you think if you really did wig out and say, absolutely not, I don't want you to do this while you're living in my house,
I think right now is the wrong time to play that card.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That he's really feeling his oats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... almost it was like a game of chicken. He's talked about doing this, and he's even said, I'm just going to do it because I'm 19, and, well, you do things when you're 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a mistake, but what am I going to do?
Right.
If I was to yell at him and say, you're going to regret this 3 years from now, and you know what that is? That's like saying into his head over and over again, do it, but only do it faster.
Yeah, but you'd say that if you thought it was true, probably, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
if it was on his forehead or if it was something that was offensive, this is, you know, my mind's small. You can hide it.
This is also when you're sitting here like this, you know, if you want to show somebody. The tattoo on the inside of the arm is definitely, you know, that's a total control tattoo. You can say, I got a tattoo. Roll your arm over, and then you keep your arm in the normal position. Nobody sees it.
So anyway, that's...
but, you know, I'll stop talking about it because, you know, through all your calmness...
Yes?
I detect that it's just that there is a level of just a tiny, tiny level of uptightness in there, too. Where you're just a little, you know, I think you're handling it the right way, but like any parent, I don't think you're doing cartwheels about it.
No, I'm not, but what are you going to do?
Right.
I think to myself, what is the other side? Well, the other side would be, I'd have a kid that never talked to me, didn't tell me what was going on in his life, didn't, you know, bother to call.
And I've had kids tell me that, and that's the way I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So what, you know, what the hell? It's like I was trying to say to Frida, what are we going to do? She said, whatever it is, you know, she thinks logically, and if you can't think logically, he's a freaking kid. He's a kid, for goodness sakes.
I don't think anybody would have an answer to that question. What can you do? You can't.
No, you can't. That's right. You can't. Unless you homeschool.
I mean, but you're right.
That's right. Then you homeschool, and I got news for you there. Then when they get out, they go double crazy. Because they never had anything before. No. They got to have
everything.
Then they
break the mirror and put the glass in your eye.
Yes, they do. also on the list of things to get to today, God, we're going to have to do this in the next break. I wanted to mention... How crappy is it? Shame on you, Emmys. I would use another word, but we've changed the show now. You know, I would just take a big, you know what, on the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
You nominate John freaking Ritter. You know why John Ritter got nominated?
Because he's dead.
Because he's eating dirt.
Yeah.
Because he's eating dirt.
Yeah, we do that.
Please.
Do you know what else got a nod?
What?
The Dick Van Dyke reunion.
Well, that's all right because they're alive.
Barely.
I know, but that sucked too. But here's the thing. John Ritter, as an actor, if he was alive, no one would say he's worth an Emmy Award.
No, absolutely.
Not that an Emmy Award is worth anything.
He already got his tribute on Squares.
I remember when we played that day.
So you're angry at the Emmys for nominating.
I didn't mention that yesterday.
Do you think he's going to win?
Yes. I would bet money that he wins.
And yet they snubbed, according to Jim.
Yeah, where's the justice there? Yeah. Where's the justice there? And I know the Emmys don't matter, and they're all just self-pretentious Hollywood people. But, you know, who do you think you're fooling with this crap? I'm Joe Sixpack that sits there and watches that stupid box every night. You know, don't nominate a guy that was funny 20 years ago just because he died.
I heard a rumor the acceptance speech is going to be animated.
Hey, like
Shrek. Who's doing the voice?
I'm not sure. They're trying to find a John Ritter impersonator, and then they'll have like a cartoon version of John Ritter.
Okay, so having said all of that, now I'm worked up to get the woman in here, and we'll do this next.
Oh, yeah.
The woman who ran into a pole while she was laughing, listening to our show, and is 5 months pregnant, and offered yesterday, out of the goodness of our hearts, to pay for the damage to her car. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just... preface this by saying, Mike and I don't do nothing nice for nobody.
Right.
We are McDonald's, and you are hot coffee. Do not think that you can take your car, drive it into a pole, call us up, show us pictures, say, I wrecked my car because I was listening to your show, and we're going to pay for it.
And I would like to also make
Because we're not. And I have some very, very... Very, very
I would like,
delicate promises that this woman is going to have to
but
make.
Let me make this statement also. Whatever we do for this woman, we will not in any way, at any time, acknowledge any responsibility whatsoever.
Correct.
For what happened to this woman.
No, right.
And we do not, even though we are making a gesture to her out of pure fun.
Right.
And for the good of the show, we in no way... accept any responsibility for what happened to her or anybody else that's listening to this show.
Well said.
Okay? So what that means is, if you think we're hilarious and you drive your car off the road, I got news for you. You're going to be with John Ritter very soon, but you're not going to get a dime out of us.
No, it's not going to happen.
Okay?
Fair enough.
I hate to be so harsh. Just remember, we're McDonald's. You're hot coffee.
Anything we do for this woman today... We do it based on the fact that we find her to have a funny story.
Now, I should also I should also point out that when she wrote us the letter originally, she asked for nothing.
Yes, true.
She just said this was a funny thing that happened. Look at these pictures of my wrecked car. I think she did ask in the letter, couldn't I get a T-shirt?
That's and all true or not, we find it to be an amusing story.
Right.
And
even if we do believe it's true, you're not going to know that we believe it's true.
When we get back from the break, I'll read you an email that we received from her father-in-law.
Oh.
Or maybe it is her father. I'm not really sure. Anyway, he's in the lobby as well. We'll bring them in.
There you go.
And then do all kinds of fantastic stuff. Like, we get the religious music out, and I can make her pray on her unborn child that all of this happened exactly as she said, and that she would never take us for
But
months.
Even if she does that, we will never believe whether it is true or not.
No,
if we do, we will not acknowledge that fact.
That's true, Mike.
Because in the event that we do, then the floodgates open.
That's true. Right. So listen, let's just put it like this. That, you know that Vegas thing, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Right.
Whatever happens on the next segment of the show stays on the next segment of the show.
Got it. And it could be complete fiction.
That's right. It could be. Could be, Mike. Could be totally made up.
Shall be.
Because we don't trust nobody.
No, we don't do nothing for nobody.
Very good.
Okay? And look what you made us do. Look how you reduced us. That now, before doing a simple act, a random act of kindness, we got to ramp up for 5 minutes telling you, we ain't never doing it again, and don't come at us, because it's not what we're all about.
Right, and we reserve the right after our inquisition.
Oh, yeah, we may not pay for the...
to pull the plug.
The damages. We may not pay.
See how it goes.
So we'll bring her in for what is going to be a very special segment.
After all that.
On the show. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show. Let them give ye a comedy facial. Don and Mike.
Okay, that's my feedback, sorry. I've got my, speaking of, right as we went to break, the hotline rang, and it's my kid. with a kid crisis.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, not a crisis. A crisis.
He's lost feeling in his arm?
No, nothing like that. Hey, Marty, listen, you're on the air.
Yeah, what's up?
Listen to him now. Now he's Joe Cool, too cool for school.
Hey, what's up, man?
So, the deal, you need how much put in your account?
No. If you could just leave 40 cash for me, because the checks I deposited
haven't gone through. I told you that yesterday. Didn't I tell you that? That if you deposit something, even if you deposit at night, you have to deposit it, like, after 8 o'clock the next day for it to count?
Well, I must have been wrong.
All right. Oh, there's a first. Hold on a second.
Before 8 o'clock.
Let me finish this. Yeah. Last night he called me and he said, I've got my checks from work. I'm going to deposit them in the bank.
Right.
I said to him today, I hope you're not planning on going to the bank today to get the money from those checks. He said, why? I said, because you deposited them last night, like at 9:30, and they don't get it till start of business today. The money won't be there till like Saturday.
Right.
And he said, no way. And I said,
oh, he disagreed with you.
Yeah, he did. And now he's calling to apologize, and apparently there's the issue of something to do with $40.
He needs cash, yeah.
So if you'll give me just a moment.
Please send money, which apparently is the anthem of the modern teenager.
Okay. Now, listen, now your part's not on. Now your part's not on the air, but I'm still doing the show, so real fast, what do you need? What? Okay. $40. Yeah. Okay, and then what do I do with the $40? Okay, all right.
Wire it to him.
Okay, all right. So, all right, I love you. Hold on a second. This is not really... Robbie, did you ask him if it was important that he wanted to... Rob's look, because I said to Rob, is it important? Tell him we're going on the air. Do I have to talk to him? And he said, yeah. Hey, did Rob ask you if this was important? Did Rob tell you I was going on the air?
No, I just said his dad on the air, and he said, yeah, you just missed him by 5 seconds. Hold on.
Well, all right, listen, so you just need to borrow $40?
Yeah, and I just wanted to give you a heads up, because I know sometimes when I need to borrow money, I clean you out.
Oh, so it's not a crisis.
So it's not a crisis at all.
It'll be later on when he sees you that he's going to borrow $40 cash from you.
Okay, all right. You know, he's good at paying it back. I don't mind. Yeah, I mean, so it's no big deal.
My arm's looking pretty good, Dad.
How's the saran wrap holding up?
It's holding up all right.
Okay.
Cool.
You having a good time?
Yeah, I'm having an excellent time. It's a bit loud, though.
How would you describe that tattoo? I was talking about it before. How would you describe it to Uncle Mike?
The Shazam lightning bolt.
That's it. It's very, very good. And in all black, right?
Yeah, colored in all black.
And your friends, what do they think of it?
They think it's cool. They're jealous.
There you go.
Jealous.
Like I know you are, Dad. Secretly, I know you're jealous.
Secretly jealous. Color me guilty.
All right, well, I got to go, Dad.
Okay, all right. $40.
Yeah.
Consider it done.
Thanks.
All right, I love you.
I'll see
you. Bye. So, what's it like being a parent? You ever wonder?
Here's today's example of tough love.
Now,
that's just kidding. That's a joke.
Mike,
that's a joke.
He's a good guy.
I know he is.
You know what I mean?
I know he is.
What am I going to do? What he said to me off the years, I never have.
You know, tough love is practiced on kids that do things bad.
I never have any money on me. So what I'm going to have to do is stop at the money machine on the way home to get $40 because I don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he needs to borrow $40.
Yeah, I just fantasize about the evil parent, you know.
Well, maybe you should have thought about that $40 when you were spending that money on the tattoo.
Now, the thing is, he's got the money. It's just because he's a stupid idiot, like with not knowing that you had to wait to deposit something.
Yeah, I'm right.
Did you tell when you were on the phone with him?
Why are you turning to Rob?
Well, because Rob, did you tell him that I was on the air and that I only want to talk to him if it was important?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, okay.
No, I said, he said his dad on the air. I said he will be in about 14 seconds. He said, shoot. And I said, do you want to talk to him? And you said, yeah.
All right.
I mean...
Okay, all right. I thought it was a crisis. Not a crisis.
Not a crisis.
Kid just wanted to borrow some money. That's all.
He said, shoot.
I am just sensing this. You know, I know that you're doing the very best you can, and that parenting a 19-year-old is very difficult to do, and I just...
No problem.
That's the thing.
There's no problem.
You're being as low-key about this as... About just everything regarding...
That's good, though.
It is good. Yeah. It is good. It's just I'm... Maybe I'm...
You're used to me yelling. What do you want me to do?
Right now. You've just got this kind of look on your face. It's like, yeah... And I just get the impression that,
I have finally, over the last couple of years, got to a point with my kid where I believe I understand him.
Okay.
Because in many ways, I am still him. Okay? So
right.
I know. I don't endorse what he does, but he has a good heart and he lives a good life and he doesn't break the law.
Right.
So I say, whatever.
Okay. All right.
Whatever.
But you don't exactly say whatever. You know where he is almost at all times, like no other parent I've seen.
Yeah, but we can't talk about that, or he'll stop doing that. If I mention that,
that's why it's a sticky, slippery slope when we're talking about anything about him on the air.
Right. He's a good kid. He's a reliable kid. If I tell him, call me tonight to let me know what you're doing, he calls. It never fails that he calls.
Well, then
last night I say, you got to be home by 2:00. He says, you want me to wake you up? I say, no, I trust you. It doesn't matter. He wakes me up at 1:30. I'm home. I said, okay.
That's good.
Cool. That's it. So now I gotta write myself a note about that money. Just a second. You gotta post it, Robbie? Thank you.
It's responsibility.
How much you want to borrow?
$40.
Yeah.
Christ. All right.
You can put a 20 in there for me. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. A little something.
Where's the...
For the effort.
Where's the pregnant mom? Oh, let me read you the letter.
Oh, yeah.
From the we'll find out who it's from. It's the father. Oh, it's her father.
Right.
This email...
Dear Big D.
This email says, Dear Don and Mike, let me assure you that Robin's accident is no scam. Robin is my daughter, and until I heard her voice last night from the Carroll County Hospital, we were worried sick. Her husband, Steve, called and told us we should not be upset, but that Robin had been in an automobile accident. Attached are these pictures, the same pictures that were sent to us.
Right.
They should be the same ones she emailed you to you earlier. Thank the Lord, she and the baby are fine. When she told us how it happened, we couldn't help but laugh, too. We didn't think the joke was that funny. When I heard you talking about it this evening, I couldn't believe it. If you guys would pay for the repairs to her Kia SUV, what a help it would be. And this is the part that we can never have repeated, okay? Everybody, because this is from her father.
Mm-hmm.
What a help it would be, especially with the baby due in November.
Mm.
Because, that's nice, but that's not how we make our living, being nice.
Yeah, I know, but this is a very, very isolated circumstances.
So this can never happen again. We can never speak of this. Steve is struggling to get a small computer business started and is only working part-time. This would be a godsend. Oh, she's been so worried she can't sleep. She has been a faithful listener for many years, as have I.
All right.
Thank you for anything you can do for her. That's from her mother.
Can we just get this over with?
I do have some questions for her. Bring her in, please.
It's so nice you're doing this, especially, with Slacker Steve hanging around.
Oh, now stop it.
Just trying to bring it back to our show.
And normally you don't do godsend.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. Let's think about Steve. How can you live with yourself, for goodness sake, Steve?
Here they come. Steve is coming down the hallway. Father is coming down. The whole family's
here. They're all here.
Yeah. Everybody's here.
They're all here.
She's walking a little gingerly.
Yes, of course.
And I hope that they know that we have a ceiling. We do have a ceiling on how much we can afford to pay to have this car.
And as far as we're concerned, this is just an interesting story.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi,
Robin.
How are you? Robin, step right up to that microphone.
Hi, Robin.
How are you? You know what? Let me get you a chair. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Fine.
Would you like to use my new chair?
Sure.
Here you go. Enjoy Mike's new chair.
Enjoy my new chair.
Have a sit.
Very good. I'm going to bring my other new chair over.
Auxiliary.
You like my other new chair?
That's nice, too.
Pretty nice, isn't it?
I like this.
Yep. Yeah, who wouldn't like that? Yep. So Robin and I chatted in the lobby before the show. I thought she was one of the creepy people from the creepy website.
So did I when I saw her.
Which is why when Mike and I walked through together, originally we just went, hello, and just kept going. Then I came back. But Ann said, the pregnant woman is here. I said, I thought she was one of the creepy people.
And smiling every moment that I've seen her, every time I've gone by her, a big, toothy grin.
So the story,
she's a laugher.
So the story is this, that you're driving your car, you're listening to Make Beth Ann laugh, you hear the joke, you laugh, and then what happens?
I was laughing so hard, I blacked out. I don't know what happened, I lost my breath, and when I opened my eyes or whatever, came back to normal, I was in front of this sign and just went right through it and back.
And still traveling at speed?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then when I went back onto the road, my car, I couldn't move at all. The tire was mess up with
Well, we saw the car. The car was pretty
banged
up.
We saw the pictures. Now, here's what works in your favor for this thing that we will never talk about again.
Okay, we will never speak of this. You have to understand, you know, the reputation this show has.
First, you sent us a letter with the pictures, and it's a funny story. And the main thing is, you didn't ask for anything.
He said
maybe a T-shirt would be nice.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, so that works on your behalf. Now, understand, we do something nice for you. Unfortunately, we have to think. There's 6 million other people out there listening right now thinking, I'm going to run my car into a tree. Then I'm going to call these guys up.
And that our line will always be, we don't believe you, okay? Right, that's the way it's going to be because, you know, if we say that, that opens us, you know, anybody that's, you know, stubbing their toe.
So, you know. Here's what I have to ask you. How far along are you?
I'm 5 months.
5 months pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what it's going to be yet?
A girl.
A little girl. First one?
Yes.
Oh, your first girl. Is this the papa right here? So you got the papa of your baby and you got your papa here. You got grandpa. All right.
Let me ask you something, please. Robin, do you believe in God?
Yeah.
I'd like a more resounding yeah before
so
you
God.
Answer.
Well, that's the way we say it in the Catholic Church, so she's okay.
Are you Catholic?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you swear on the life of your unborn child that you truly got into this accident the way you described in the letter?
Absolutely.
And then in no way are you trying to work the sympathy angle to get us to pay for your car, even though you didn't ask because you might be sneaky enough to think about that?
Not one bit.
On your child's life?
Absolutely.
How much do you think it would cost to get the car fixed?
Well, we called today, and it's an incomplete estimate, and it's about $6,200 right now.
Well, we'll be glad to help make the down payment.
How much is a Kia?
Cherry car.
So what you're saying is you totaled the car.
They haven't said that yet. I mean...
Not drivable.
Well, well done.
Now, are you insured?
Yes.
You are insured. What is your deductible?
What's your deductible?
$200.
$200.
Well, here's what we will do. We'll give you $2,000.
Okay.
Okay, because I didn't know that
that's
car was...
That's kind of where we were thinking.
The car was totaled.
To do the whole repair. Have you gotten a second opinion on your body shop?
I'm going through Nationwide, and they have...
Oh, that's well, they're on your side.
Yeah, the
Hey, Bill, I'm sorry, but I'm going to throw you under the bus here, okay? That's my insurance agent. You know, yeah, okay. Go Ohio State.
I have a...
You know, take another trip, Bill.
The Ohio State, Mike.
Yeah, anyway, that's my insurance company. What's that? I'm sorry, what?
We called to ask the agent some questions today, and he died.
I hope he wasn't listening.
Like to see that
I'm not paying for that funeral.
The agent died?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I hope he wasn't sure.
Oh, my God.
We saw the picture of the car that seems a little high.
It does.
But then again, you never know with a car. It depends on what they have to put in there.
When you drive a luxury vehicle.
I was going to say, you know, with no offense with a Kia, $6,000, if we gave you like... I don't know, two. Couldn't you, like, go buy, like, a 99 Kia?
You know, for $10,000, you can get a dealership.
That easy.
Well, listen, see, we're not as nice as we appeared.
Well,
we don't have that much money to give away.
For a Kia, I'm astonished at that cost for the body work. Steve, you going to get a second opinion on this body work?
No, because... It's going through the insurance company through their body shop. It's a Blue Ribbon Repair Service, so obviously they're reputable to the insurance company.
Yeah, take the microphone back. All right, there we go.
All right, well, saying,
I want more. All right.
Okay. No, he's not.
All right, we are going to, what is it,
$2,000.
$2,000.
We hope that goes towards paying for the safety of
that's
the car.
That's just a lot of money. Man, I'm surprised at that. Will $2,000 do it for you guys?
Will that help?
$2,000. Dad, was $2,000 all right? We didn't know it was going to be $6,200.
That's incomplete.
And that's incomplete?
That's incomplete.
Yeah.
That's
Jesus.
But insurance will cover everything, but the deductible.
Yeah, that's true. Insurance will cover. So you get your
pocket $1,800.
Your pocket $1,800 for your time and trouble.
Okay.
All right.
And remember,
that's pretty nice.
If you're lying, the other thing that I did want you to mention, if you would just promise now, in front of the eyes of God and everybody else, if you're lying, Mike and I get to take that baby.
Yes, we raise the baby. We raise the baby as our own.
I'm not lying.
Okay, she's not lying.
And know this.
And wait, I don't think you would want to raise another child right now.
No, you're right, because you know what I would do? I would take that baby and I'd sell that baby on the black market for $1,800.
For more than $2,000.
I probably probably would. It's odd you would say that, but yes.
Well, she's insured, so it's quite a little windfall for her. But, of course, we don't believe, if we're on the record here, we don't believe the story because no one would ever black out listening to our show laughing.
That's crazy. Correct.
It's crazy stuff. She's talking crazy.
Because our show is just stupid.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm sorry that we were not able to really fulfill this dream.
But I think that hopefully you all, the three of you, will enjoy some satisfaction from your $2,000 little windfall from the Don and Mike show.
That's so nice.
Yes, we'd give you $6,000, but then we'd be, we'd be in a GM's office all day long.
We'd have nothing to give away.
Right.
All right, thank you. Nice meeting all of you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Right. Please, for our investment, call us and let us know when you have the baby.
Very good. All right.
Okay.
Take care, kids.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Very nice meeting you.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care of that mom.
Drive
very good. Bye-bye.
Oh, and Steve, hold on. I have something for you, Steve. Hold on. Oh, it's not in this part. It's not in this part of the paper, but it's a part. I think it's in Section E today. It's called Help Wanted.
There you go. He wishes it was that easy.
Yeah. Tell me, brother.
There you go. All right, take care.
Tell me. I'm here slaying the dragon every day.
All right, very good.
5 days a week.
That's right.
4 hours a day I do this show, pal.
There we go.
Tell me.
Well, aren't they a nice family?
Sure are.
That's right.
That's what you get for being nice to people.
Yeah. Hey, were you surprised at that estimate?
I'm surprised the car, you should be able to buy a Kia that's got everything in it for $6,800.
That's incredible.
Bucks.
Actually, that Kia came with the most expensive option, the box of $50 bills.
Wow.
Well, she seemed like a very nice lady.
Yes.
And listen, all you bastards out there listening, never again.
Didn't happen.
Never again.
No, I don't like doing that.
Never again.
Leaves a bad taste in our mouth.
This never happened.
Sure does. $6,000.
And right. Incomplete, so it's not done yet.
Yeah.
For $6,000, I got news. For $6,000, man, you better have driven off a bridge, and you better tell every goddamn reporter in town that the reason you drove off the bridge and almost killed yourself was because you were listening to the Don and Mike show.
It's not insurance fraud, is it, if you take the $6,000 that you get from the insurance company and you just say, hey, I'm going to use this to purchase another vehicle and,
sure.
and just take my car. That's not fraud, right?
I think that's all right.
Yeah,
right.
I think it's okay.
Okay.
There they go.
Bye-bye. There goes the happy family.
You think they're getting in the car now going, those dopes.
What a bunch of saps.
Those roops fell for it. And that show's syndicated.
Please,
what's the next town on our list? Richmond, Virginia.
Let's find a DJ down there who's stupid and gullible.
The Kia Sedona, which I think is what she drives, starts at about 21 brand new.
It's not a cheap reasonable car.
No.
Okay.
$15,000 just for the grill.
Yes, we cheat them in Howe Body Shop.
But still, I guess we got to relook at the pictures. We have to take a second look at the pictures.
Pretty expensive damage.
Because I guess, now that I think about it, I guess the right-hand side was tore up real good.
Well, I saw the estimate in the body shop. I thought the body shop was actually a place where they cut hair because it's called the clip joint. Welcome to the clip joint. We've got your estimate here. We're going to have to replace that tire. That's normally a $15,000 repair, but we'll let you have it for $8,000.
Here's a guy.
Some butcher work.
Here's a guy named Dave who says he owns a Kia dealership. Dave. Hey, Dave.
I'm sorry, but Dave's not here, man.
Hey, okay.
All right.
Dave's
okay.
Not here.
All right. Get out of here.
You love clever. The Cheech and Chong humor.
Now I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Now I'm laughing. Well, God, I don't know. Jesus, we're running out of time here. I guess we'll take some phone calls, but I got so much other stuff that I want to talk about with you guys. So it's not an official phone scan. No, don't even put it in the machine.
Not even that.
Informal.
Call if you feel like it. 877-365-3636. We'll take some calls. Not a formal phone scan, mind you, because if we, every week, see, what I used to do was collect little things I wanted to talk about at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then stuff happens,
yeah.
Like my wife and my kid and Martha Stewart. And every day I get a list. And now here's the stuff that I have left over for the end of the week.
Okay.
CSI cancels, fires people. Jack Nicholson bought Marlon Brando's house. Why Will Smith is still pissing me off. Something about John Edwards. Something about Willy Wonka. Frank Herzog got fired. Something about Bewitched. What George Jefferson said about Weezy Jefferson dying. David Guest says that Liza Minnelli would have jumped out of his window with two bottles of vodka in her hand if he had left her. They're making a documentary about Jeff Goldblum. There's that guy from Jefferson. Jeopardy, that creepy guy from Jeopardy who keeps winning. Jennifer Lopez pays $10,000 for flip-flops, but wait, there's more. And then there's three really, really great stories about life treating people awful, and I've not had the chance to bring any of that to you. And if I don't do it now, none of it will get on the air.
Well, guess what? Technically, you just did it.
Yeah, but you don't have the details.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's a great tease.
Like, you don't know. You don't
really
like
cover the headlines.
CSI people, they're fired.
Because they wanted more money.
It's Georgia Fox and George Eads.
Who's Georgia Fox?
She's
brunette.
She's the girl with the Alfred E. Newman thing between her teeth.
All right, yeah.
Well, yeah. So they wanted more money. You know what Les Moonves said? Get your ass out of here.
Mm-hmm. Fix the nose.
Oh, and I believe that Leslie Moonves will be on the show Monday to discuss this move with us.
Ah, very good.
He's president of CBS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marlon Brando, his house was bought by Jack Nicholson.
Marlo Brandon.
As Jay Dubs would say, Marlo Brandon. And did you know that Marlon Brando, I wanted to talk about this earlier this week. His last role that he ever did was as a voice job for a cartoon called Big Bug Man. In the movie, Marlon Brando's role, his voice role, is that of an old woman named Mrs. Sour, who runs a candy factory.
Hey, I'm Mrs. Sour. How are you?
Now, when they wanted Marlon Brando to tape his parts for this...
Mrs. Sour, look how they massacred my cartoon.
Normally the actors come to the studio, they read through, like, sometimes in a day, right. And they're done. Marlon Brando made them come to his house, and when they came to his house... He wore full makeup, a blonde wig, and a dress.
At his house?
Yes, to get into character.
I want to get the spirit of being Mrs. Sauer.
To get into character. And, okay, one more. See, I just, like Will Smith, I talked about him the other day, mm-hmm. that there's something about Will Smith.
Yes.
Filled with angst. You know, I used to really dig Will Smith.
I know.
And now he's changed.
Did you see him on American Chopper?
I did not. How was he on that? Was he pretending he was a movie star?
Yeah, he was superstar Will Smith coming in to get a bike made for his movie iRobot.
Okay, listen.
With those two balloon heads.
Here is a quote.
Most overrated men in America.
Here is a quote from Will Smith. If you're not getting anywhere, it's not your. Of course, he's doing press for this movie iRobot.
Mm-hmm.
Here is his advice. The best thing anybody ever said to me is you're only as good as the people you associate with. Look at the five friends you spend the most time with. That's who you are. When I was a kid, I looked around, and I was not impressed. If you're the smartest person in your squad, dude, you need a new squad. Be around people who want to be like you or will advance you.
So in other words, be a climber.
Yeah, but wait.
Base your associations.
There's more. This is also from Vanity Fair.
Uh-huh.
Here's another thing that Will Smith, the down-to-earth movie star, wants us to know. I'm the type, this is a quote now. They ask him, what would you like to say to the readers of Vanity Fair and to your fans? This is what he said, I swear to God. Quote, I'm the type of person, it's important for me to share. I have something I want to share. When I experience something that's special and incredible, I like to share it with people.
Nice.
Here's what I want to share with the readers of Vanity Fair. Anyone who's still using dry toilet paper, you're not really doing yourself the true service. And the thing is...
I agree with him there. Yeah, he's right about this one.
But it's not said to be funny.
Right, right.
It's said
to be serious
in the context of this article that goes from telling us about playing Muhammad Ali, and because of the show that we do now with the stupid FCC regulations, mm-hmm. I can't tell you why. It's funny as hell. Pick up Vanity Fair because he goes into great detail.
You know, he could have said so many things that I would have been on his case, and then he happened to give that pearl of wisdom. Because Don, here's the deal.
Yeah.
If you ask me what I would share with listeners of this show, I would say the exact same thing.
But you wouldn't say it in such a pretentious way as he did, and I can't read you the context
right.
of exactly why.
Because it's not on the it's not the show content anymore.
It's not, but mm-hmm. to hear him say it,
right.
it sure doesn't sound like the Will Smith that I used to like.
Right. You might agree in theory, but you wouldn't say doing yourself the true service.
Yeah, this is true.
And you also
I wouldn't say it
refer
that way.
To your squad.
Yeah. I use actually a woman's product.
Do you? What is it?
I don't even know. It's Playtex.
Playtex. It's not for...
It's a Playtex-like tissue.
Is it for women? Is it for the same spot?
Well, it's what it is. Is a it's
for
a,
for women? Is
a,
it like
a, it's a sanitary cloth?
So it's a
disposable cloth.
Moist. So you're like using douche paper.
No.
No. Can I still say that?
No. It's a sanitary wipe.
Like a baby wipe or a wet one or something
or
like that.
Or a wipe.
But
it,
the one that I prefer happens to be a woman's product.
But the big companies now, I think like Charmin and those, are starting to make rolls of the wet product for everyone to use.
There's a commercial with a bear.
And you know what? It's amazing when you think about that product, how long we have gone
It's crazy.
With dry. When you think about it, you know, it's foolish.
But why do you use a woman's one?
It's gentler.
It's yeah, but isn't it made for a woman? Meaning it would be really made for, you know, I mean.
I was actually at my girlfriend's house and I found it. And then I went out and bought it myself.
Is it scented?
Yes.
Lightly?
Lightly.
I would cut you slack on that if you were at your girlfriend's house and, like, you didn't have your own toiletries and you saw it. You thought, oh.
I saw it and I said.
Nice. But you saw it and then you went and bought it for your own place, for your bachelor pad, right?
I bought a different kind of product, but the one I prefer is the one that's at her place. And I haven't been able to figure out what aisle to go in to find it. If I found it, I'd buy it. And
I think here's what I can say.
Because you know why I like it? The wet one. I'll tell you, Don.
I don't know why that music. Get that out of there. I think the ones, and I think I can still say this without being deleted.
Yeah.
The ones that I am imagining you're using would be called PWs. The ones that you should be using should be called AWs.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
It's a male female.
But it's
thing.
Not. It doesn't matter. It's the same stuff. It's basically the same stuff.
But you're
it's
using
for down there, and it's much gentler.
But you're using the. The Prince Willie version.
Right, and when it should be, you know, Andrew Willie.
Yes, right.
Right.
Or the Adams Morgan.
Adam Walsh.
Adam. Don't say Adam Walsh. That's awful. That's John Walsh's kid.
Jeez. What's wrong with you?
The first AW I thought of.
What?
You come up with another? Adam West. Better.
Adam West.
Okay? And
better.
No disrespect.
No disrespect, Rob. God, I hope John Walsh wasn't listening today.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two. Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well.
Uh-huh.
And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call jap plays.
Right.
Okay.
You ever wonder what's happening in Bill Parcells' mouth?
Sure.
You ever really listen to the way he talks? I got a couple of guys going. No disrespect.
Right, listen to this tape of him.
I'm not the beautiful lady going to Chicago.
I just snapped my neck when I did that aggressing.
Call now. Phone scans next, I think.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm feeling you. Feeling ya?
Dog.
I believe that was an urban slanted commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Good on our air.
We're for everybody. Except for Rob.
Talk about the OnStar Personal Calling, JC.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free and voice-activated wireless phone that's built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. We both have it. We both love this. You press the white button in your OnStar vehicle, and you can make phone calls like with your cell phone, except you hear all of the calls coming through the stereo speakers.
Do you know what I like about the OnStar Personal Calling?
What is that?
The better reception or so. It's better in areas where there's limited range. So not only is it hands-free, it's always there. It just may work when your cell phone doesn't work.
Well, I've used it, and it does. And a lot of times I go into a place where it goes beep, beep on my regular phone.
Right.
Make the call with OnStar. Go to... Now, Rob, this is possible for me to figure. So we have 10 seconds left?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just say, hi, Mike.
Hi, Don.
We love OnStar. Personal calling. Available in most markets. Go to OnStar.com.
For more information.
Hey, there you go.
The Don and Mike Show.
See, we did it.
WKFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, Rob, this is Rob. Rob Grill with the Grassroots. I got your message, and I'd love to come in the studio that day. I'm getting into town probably about noon, and I'll be over in that area around 2. So, we can work that out. That'd be great. And then we can talk to Don about his singing ability or lack thereof, and we can figure that one out, too. So I'll give you a call tomorrow during business hours.
Important rock star.
Try to hook this thing up. Thanks.
Left us a message. It's Rob Grill from the Grassroots.
Yeah, Rob, this is Rob Grill with the Grassroots. You've got the number. I just wanted to let you know I'm arriving at Dulles at noon, and I'm going to take a cab, and then I have the show at 7. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure out. I'm not going to have a car or anything. I don't know if a cab would be right or not, but give me a call back. I'll be home this evening. If you can, call me and let me know if we can work out what time we can do this and discuss the other parts of it. Okay? Thanks. Bye.
There he is. That's my man.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hot dog. The Don and Mike Show.
That's my man, Rob Grill. He's the lead singer of this band, The Grassroots. Yeah. He's let me sing with them on stage a couple of times. He's a good guy. That's funny.
You're overdue for that.
Hey, Mike, there's got to be a craft fair somewhere in the metro area.
Don't they still play every summer?
I think they do. I think now they package them now. I think they package them like on cruise ships and stuff.
Oh, good. Okay.
So
maybe we can do one of those cruises when we go on it.
Right. Yeah. you mean the cruiser we go and we invite people, and you know who shows up, right? Like the creepy people from the creepy website.
Absolutely.
Who appear to be very nice and enjoying themselves in front of our radio station today, having some type of orgy slash cookout.
Yeah, they're firing up the BBQ outside.
I'll try to track down Rob Grill. I'll check some of his more popular venues like Fair Oaks Mall.
Oh, that's right. You have to remind me, don't you?
He did.
You love to hurt me.
No. It was a wonder. He packed the place.
That was the last time that Rob Grill was in the area with the Grassroots performing.
I went over there that night.
At a shopping mall. Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful.
At a shopping
mall. It was very loud.
Phone scan. Let's get to your calls at a phone scan. Okay. And here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
This is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Rockville, Maryland.
Thank you, Nicole.
This is my first time caller.
How old are you, Nicole?
I'm 15.
15.
Hmm.
Listen to your show all the time.
Yeah, what about, do Mommy and Daddy know you listen?
Oh, yeah, my dad is the one who told me to call.
You know, I think since we changed the show, I think it's okay, but still, it doesn't mean the kids can't piss us off.
That's true.
When are you going to get your adenoids out?
Why did you call? Well, I just wanted to call you because...
Will you shut the car door, please?
Yes, my dad should...
Shut the car door!
All right, you shut.
Listen, here's what I want you to do. Tonight...
Adenoid?
Go get a tattoo. Go get a tattoo.
Absolutely.
Get a swastika on your forehead. Okay? Okay. Bye, honey.
Well, I want to say one more thing.
Of course.
My dad listens to your show every day.
Uh-huh.
And he gets in trouble all the time by my mother.
Okay, well, your mommy's a bad lady. I hope you know that.
You're right.
Mommy's bad. Mommy's bad.
Who do you love more?
Mommy or daddy?
Daddy.
Daddy. Oh. Daddy's little girl.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
There you go.
He says she's the best at it.
See you in a few years at Don and Mike's Horror City. Hello. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lisa. I'm a first-time caller.
Here's a graduate now.
Hi, Lisa.
Graduate.
And I know you guys are going to hang up on me, but I thought that was so sweet what you did with a second.
Yeah, Right.
Don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. She's referring to something that might have happened years ago.
Shut up! Okay, enough with that. And, of course, when we play...
Shut up!
We also have to play...
Merry Christmas!
Just because.
It's related.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Radio God.
Yes, phone scan. Hi.
Sean and Reno calling. Please share with us your opinion on Growing Up Gaudy on A&E. Have you seen that promo?
Yes. Oh, is that with his wife?
Yeah, his wife and his boy.
You know what I say?
Is it no good without him?
Ixnay to that. That's right. How are you going to have a show about the great John Gotti without the great John Gotti? It's as bad, thank you for the call, as bad as the Paris Hilton's mother's show.
I watched a show on Discovery last night that I have finally found a guy that I believe is more insane than Steve Irwin. Wow. I don't know the guy's name, but the show I think was called Biggest, Baddest Bugs. And it was incredible. This guy, I have never seen a guy do more stuff that was personally threatening to him than what this guy did.
Wow.
This guy had, he had a the most venomous, deadliest spider that kills 30 people a year in Australia. He had it walk over his hand. He had the killer bees, Africanized killer bees in Arizona. He had, the, you know, the bee beard that they get from regular honeybees?
Yeah.
He's the first person ever that did this with Africanized killer bees. This guy, everything. And then he took these, like, African or South American stinging ants that are supposed to be, you know, the 24-hour killer ant that, right. that makes your arm. And he made the ant sting them. This guy is going out. He's getting stung
then
and bitten by bugs.
How come he's not dead?
He's doing it for my entertainment.
How come he's not dead? It's
because,
poisonous.
Because the stinging ants are the only thing they do. They don't kill you. They're not fatal. But it's called the 24-hour sting. And he said, "What this? The reason this is called the 24-hour ant is because you have incredible pain and your arm swells up." And he goes up into the trees, gets this ant, puts it in a little Dixie cup. Then he puts it on his arm, and he goes. He says, "Okay, I should get it right now." Ow! Ow! And it stings him. And then they do time-lapse photography where he has to take his watch off because his arm is beginning to swell, and he goes. And the guy, really, this guy is certifiably out of his mind.
Apparently.
And you see this Australian spider that is apparently the most venomous spider in the world.
Okay.
And he said, "I'm going to do something." And the close-up, the camera, is a quarter inch away from this guy's face. And you see the bug, that's all the spider that's all raised up. He said, "Now, if you don't threaten them, I'm going to try something that's never been done before. I think I'm going to let it walk across my hand." And you see this bug that kills people.
Yeah.
It's more deadly than a black widow. And he also lets a black widow walk across his hand, which is... But the thing was, he let himself be stung, and when he had, at one point, 50,000 African killer bees on his face with a bee beard.
Yeah.
The guy that said he'd never, the beekeeper who was working with him said, "You'll be fine, but because I put this pheromone on that says you're the queen and they'll defend you."
However, you're the queen.
However, if you get stung
once, the bee's knees.
If you get stung once, there is a chance that there the pheromone will be released that says attack. And you'll be stung 50,000 times and die. And I've never seen anything like this guy. It was riveting, and he just dives in and does all this stuff with these killer bugs. It was fantastic.
What it was on with Discovery?
I think it was Discovery. It was Discovery.
Or TLC or something like that.
One of those kind of things. And, man, this was amazing. But what I loved about it was the close-up. And he's just this nerdy-looking guy that says, "We're going to try this right now." But letting himself get stung was amazing.
Wow. Did you see on A&E where they had the 24-hour sting channel?
No.
Here it is.
"Don't think me unkind." Here's the thing. "Words are hard to find."
It's the 24-hour sting channel.
"When the elder sounds like JT to me.
Escapes me."
I'm not saying that it's all Sting. They might be artists doing rendition of Sting's song.
Right, from the classic Police song.
Yes, you're right, Mike. It's Jerry Todd. Do, 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 do.
Da, da, da. It's all I want to be saying to you.
Yeah.
It's a 24-hour sting. Long way to go.
Da, 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 da.
Hello, I like the other one better.
I did too.
This one stinks. This one rocks.
"Don't think me unkind."
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Guys.
Yes, hi.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great, thank you.
Friday's here. Let's have a beer. But
hey,
anyway.
Hold on. You're going to get a prize. Don't go anywhere. Just reminded me.
See if he picks up the phone.
I thought of a song.
Honey, hold on a second.
Yeah, sorry. We're
Joe?
Yes?
I almost forgot. Give it to us.
"The weekend is here. Have a can of beer."
Michael Elston as Joe Arden.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, and lady, you want a prize because we should have had Joe do that.
Right.
Fabulous.
How about the Entourage prize pack from HBO? Buzz, you stole one of these. They're good, aren't they?
I did, yeah. Cool stuff.
Don't miss the premiere of HBO's brand new comedy series Entourage, Sunday, July 18th. That's this weekend at 10, 9 Central, only on HBO. So you've won a prize. What can we do for you?
Great. Thanks. You're welcome. Thought of a song yesterday. You know, Rob was sort of bombing out on the songs that were kind of offensive. And Son of a Preacher Man is one that's got that innuendo in it. And then the other thing is I'm an insurance agent, and it's not insurance fraud.
Take the money and get another car?
Correct.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And we'll listen for the incest or whatever it is in Son of a Preacher Man.
Son of a Preacher Man.
I'm on Don and Mike's show.
That's a great video.
Turning Japanese.
And that's a sweet little thing we call Turning Japanese.
Don and Mike's show.
God damn it.
Right.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video from Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength. And that's a pretty thing called Turning Japanese.
Yeah, it is.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show, phone scan.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I was just calling to see if I could pick you up in Richmond. I live in Northern Virginia right now, and I just resigned from my job today, so...
Good for you for advancing your career. Let me see. Richmond, I think we got canceled there. Didn't we get canceled there?
We have an AM there.
We lost our job there, too.
No, yeah.
We have an AM there.
No, we didn't. We got canceled there. It's not on the new list.
That's
terrible news. I was hoping I could take you with me, but...
Sorry, darling. You got to move to where the food is. However, let me tell you that starting Monday... we will be heard every day on 650 KIKK, Houston, Texas. Also starting Monday, every day live on 105.9 KRNC, Fresno, California. And also starting Monday, live every day on 94.7 KAMX in Austin, Texas.
All right, cool. Very good.
So those are... that's for us. And it'll go on until Monday.
Stars at night.
Hey.
Are big and bright.
Oh, and Houston, I guess. Right.
Heart of Texas.
So, honey, it's bad news if you want to hear us in Richmond, Virginia. However, we're spreading like fungus through Texas.
Amen.
Well, Texas?
Yes.
I've never been.
That's
I'm sure
place to go.
Think about going.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye.
Yeah. Miss
Goodbye.
You.
Goodbye.
So we're not on. We didn't really do anything to help her, and she quit her job today.
Well, maybe she's not driving a minivan, Mike.
That's true.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes, and Mike. Hello.
Don, I know, but Don, I listened to your rant last week where you berated your IT engineers and all those hardworking men and women that work behind the scenes.
Please, you mean a lazy...
to make you guys stand great.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that you really were shameful. And doing that to those people. I mean, these are people who pack lunch every day
and come in to try and make
your life easier. You know, at the end of the day, all it's going to do is make your life easier. I was really upset, and I just wanted to say that on behalf. I'm an IT engineer. And
Get out of here.
Get out of you,
on behalf
dope.
Of that.
You fat, lazy dope, get out of here.
Thanks for enjoying the comedy.
Thank you.
So I guess you know your way around Microsoft products.
Hello, Don and Mike. And I'll tell you something else. When you're dealing with the lazy engineers, the only way to get them to do it is to yell at their ass. And once they yelled at their ass, it's done, and I'm not even brought up how half-assed it still is. True or not true, Mike?
Yeah.
Am I constant? Look at this.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I got to adjust another monitor.
The guy has
the whole thing.
Got to
adjust another monitor.
Really, and it's, you know, and I'm not going to point any fingers.
Not
the fact
done right.
This thing needs to be blown up and started again.
Not a chance. Well, here's the good news for the engineers.
You need a saw and you need some new tables.
Here's the good news for the engineers here. We don't do another show till Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You got 2 days to fix it. Okay?
Right here on the Jerry Todd Show here this morning. And we'll play the incredible contest in just a sec.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, a little business to take care of.
I always watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, Rob. That's a nice palate cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. All you IT guys can just pound sand. I'm telling you. I could bring in the retarded guy from the WWE that he was talking about yesterday, who could hook up this studio better. You have no idea, really, what a Picasso I am to give you this sound with these conditions. It ain't just like looking down and memorizing where a button is.
Oh, no.
How'd you like a job where every day you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 60, what the hell, 120 buttons in front of you, mm-hmm. and every day the configuration changes? Every single day you got to learn a new way to do things.
It's amazing. It's like...
But I don't want to go on about it.
Good for you. You do well with this kaleidoscope.
Yeah, it's like coming in and having to paint a room with a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
So don't call me IT guy.
IT.
It.
Mr. IT guy.
Idiot, turd, IT. Hello?
Boy, you're going to make him mad now.
Furious.
Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, we got to end. We've got a lady from Celebrity Justice. One of the hot anchors of Celebrity Justice coming
on. Excellent. We'll talk all about Martha Stewart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we will. So we have to end this. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, well, first off, I'm an IT engineer, and that guy's a douchebag.
Okay.
And like most IT engineers, he waits for the incredible reaction, which unfortunately did not come. You know, we didn't laugh as hard.
That's a word we're not even supposed to say anymore. I let you go with it, but, you know, come on.
Okay, the real reason why I called is because I want to let you know I got an impromptu plug from a stripper for your show this week.
Okay, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say this in words you're going to understand. I'm going to hit down... Control, Alt, Delete, right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, see?
Gone.
He's gone. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Don and Mike Radio Show.
How you doing, Don and Mike?
Did that work?
Hey, Don and Mike Radio Show on the radio right now, and you're on the radio.
How are you?
Great. How you doing?
What can we do for you?
What can we do for you? Don and Mike Radio Show.
Just wanted to bother you.
It's working.
And the sale ends this Friday.
I always watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
You know, eventually that's going to wear off, Rob. Eventually not that's yet, not going to be like happy juice.
It was helpful there, though.
Not yet.
Are you still there? Hello?
No. There he now goes. He's gone.
There he's gone. Okay.
It's been a while. It has really been a while.
Can we just get one person so we can give a prize to and end this goddamn segment?
I think that's a good idea. Or maybe we do a Lost Diagonal.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Good luck.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
How are you?
Hi. Walk on eggshells, darling.
I will.
walk on eggshells because there will be a gigantic prize in your future here.
I wanted to say hi specifically to Don and Mike and Buzz and Rob and DA, but not Joe because he was really mean to me.
Okay. let's end it there. Let's end it there. We really do have to break it. You're the last caller. What is your name?
My name's Lisa.
Any idea where you're from, Lisa?
I am from beautiful downtown Beemore.
Okay, on Live 105. Thanks for listening. You've also got the Entourage prize pack from HBO.
And there you go.
You've also got the LEG. I think it's a shirt and a sweatshirt and a hat and a coffee mug. And
Rob Spiewak's favorite show.
Junk.
Excellent program.
I like it. I really do. The LEG show Sunday on HBO. All of your prizes.
You like all things hip-hop.
All of your prizes are from Home Box Office. And thank you very hard for listening.
And thank you, boys. Hey, by the way, did you like Dodgeball compared to Anchorman?
No way. No freaking way.
But did you like Dodgeball?
No. I found Dodgeball to be roughly the same way I felt about like the last five phone calls we've taken. Incredibly disappointing. Incredibly disappointing. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Okay, all right. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Friday. Happy. When we come back, we'll talk to the lady from Celebrity Justice.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Back then, drinking usually was a source of humor, especially on the Dick Van Dyke Show. Off camera, no one recognized the problem.
I don't ever recall him not showing up. I don't ever recall him getting surly or nasty. I mean, I'm sure you'll hear this, too. At certain times at around 5 o'clock, he would draw martini glasses on his script while we were having notes or something like that. But it never seemed to be an issue.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's not for us either.
A colossal waste of time.
Right, right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. So, like I said, when we started this show, Martha Stewart... I'm impressed by her today.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm sorry. There you go.
Well, there's no surprise. You're impressed. You've been impressed with her forever.
No, not really. I've gone through the, you know, the obvious morbid fascination of what it must be like.
There's something about M'Lady that that turns you on.
But today, the Stones, the cojones she had. Joining us now is Pat Lalama. I'm going to screw this up. Pat, how do you say your last name?
Well, you know, you're off to a really good start with me, pal. Let me just okay, well, I'm going to tell it to you once. Write it down.
All right.
It's Sip Lalama. L-A-L-A-M-A. It means the blade in Italian.
Well, now that's what I have, and I didn't know if it's La La. So it's La Lama.
La Lama, La Lama.
La Lama,
La Lama, La Lama.
Yeah.
La Lama. Hey.
Hey.
Now Pat is on Celebrity Justice.
Yes.
And I hate to bring it down to this, you know, lowest common denominator, but I'm sure you're a great journalist. She's also quite easy on the eyes.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay, now you know, you got me. You're back in my good graces.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Everything's cool now.
So Celebrity Justice is the show that finds all the bad celebrities and what they're doing. And what are you guys doing tonight on your show tonight for Martha Stewart?
Oh, well, you know, we... I'm going to tell you something that will actually spell out what our show is about that's different. We aren't doing a whole lot on Martha Stewart because everybody in the world's doing Martha Stewart.
Oh, really?
We like to do, let's say, new, refreshing, different angles.
All right, then what's newer and more refreshing than Martha Stewart?
Yeah, but I wanted to talk about Martha because I heard you know, singing her praises, or was it your pal there?
No, this is, I'm Mike, that Don was singing his praises of Martha Stewart. He is, if I can tell you quite honestly,
uh-huh.
I believe he's enjoyed a somewhat of an attraction to me.
I guess more than the physical attraction, which has been there for years. Mm-hmm. Now listen,
well,
Pat,
you know,
today...
like my father Nunzio used to say, there's somebody for everybody, okay? So, you know.
Now, honey, listen, let's speak honestly. You're a woman in a man's world.
Talk yourself right now.
all women are women in a men's world. And,
stop it.
Martha Stewart.
Clearly our publicist did not tell you what a raging feminist I am.
Listen,
I like raging feminists.
If you'll hear me out for a second.
All right, go ahead.
It takes a woman an extra amount of expert chutzpah cojones to get anywhere in the entertainment world.
Well, it's no secret that a woman who achieves in business and has a reputation of being tough is usually labeled, you know, a biatch.
Because it's a man's world.
That's normally how that works.
So imagine today I'm watching this when she comes out and she's got such stones. She says, I'm sorry, and then she lays a rap about these other people that have been put out of work, and then it's a commercial. She comes out and says, buy my magazine, support my companies.
She's brilliant.
Let me ask Pat a question.
What did I say? Yes, agreed on all that, but...
Let me ask Pat a question. I want to ask Pat a question about that.
Go.
Do you think she did that because she perhaps was in a moment of, I don't want to say euphoria, but she felt that, hey, maybe she did get off lighter than she expected she would?
Well, look, I mean, I guess I'm seeing this whole thing differently, and maybe because we, you know, have covered this from the beginning. The fact of the matter is that there's a big A I see on Martha Stewart's forehead, and the A means arrogant. Because with the feds, with a case this small, and granted, I mean, it seems like they went a little overboard on this particular case to make a poster child out of her, but on these kinds of particular infractions, with the...
I want to tell you something.
All you have...
She is delightful to look at.
You say, you know...
She might be going on a little bit here.
I made a mistake. I was trying to save a few bucks. I didn't really...
She's really cute.
You know, they would have just let her walk, and none of this would have happened. And I believe that believe me, as a woman, I admire...
And Beth Anna just told me she worked at the station in Los Angeles where the weather girl works that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask about that.
However, this is just a dumb...
Does she think we're really listening to all this?
Start, and I'll tell you, the dumber thing in terms of her image, I thought today she sounded just as arrogant and not contrite. She never said, I'm sorry.
Correct.
She said it's a shameful
day. Honey, listen, here's my point. Dear, this is what I love about her.
Mm-hmm.
That She has such stones. She has such cojones. She did exactly what you said. That's what I admire her about.
You love the arrogance from the beginning that got her all these months in jail.
I love the fact that she's going to spend months in jail, and on her first opportunity to appear contrite or to try to get the public back on her side if they had left, the first thing she did was turn it into a freaking commercial.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, Julian, our publicist told me you guys were really great and popular, but she didn't tell me you were intellectual and ironic.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
right.
Yeah.
Now,
is that what we are? Hey, how about that?
All the time. Have you been? Let me see. With all the okay, you mentioned you want to cover on celebrity justice, which is I'm supposed to say on in many markets that we broadcast to. You don't like doing stuff that other people are doing. That's fine. What is new that we wouldn't have heard of?
Let me put it to you this way: we do cover the big stories. Of course, we cover Kobe. Of course, we're covering Jackson. But when something is so obvious, let's say in the case of Martha Stewart. Whereby you turn on all the cable news shows, you're going to see the same story and the same pundits and the same analysis. We would cover it if we came up with something nobody else had.
Give us a great example of something you've come up with on your show about any celebrity justice.
Just about everything in the Michael Jackson case has been broken by celebrity justice. Mm-hmm. If I do say so myself.
Now, you guys are always...
We have led the train, the engine on that.
Well, you know, you haven't heard a lot about Michael Jackson recently.
Well, that's because there hasn't been a lot going on.
I get the impression...
I mean, the latest thing is Kobe. The latest thing is Kobe and the fact that they're going to allow this, I think it's a 75-minute tape that the cops made with him. Now they're going to let that be evidence, and I understand there's some possibly incriminating things on that.
What I hear about Michael Jackson right now is, that from what I hear, it sounds to me like maybe he's going to walk on these charges.
Listen, you know what? This is California, the land, the proverbial land of fruits and nuts. I get so steamed when I hear all these pundits on these shows at night, and granted, we are some of them some of the time.
I was going to say, you're right. Haven't I seen you guys like on the Larry King show? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you know what? We're honored because it shows that we are a show of record about the celebrities and the justice system.
Is he going to walk or what?
You guys are tough. Here's the deal.
I want to know.
I think that you just can't say right now. I think it's egregious.
How about you put your toe in the water? Just your opinion.
Put my toe in the water. Do I think he's good? No.
No. All right. Well, thank you for the.
Kobe, I think, is a different story. If you're forcing me to pontificate, having no knowledge of all the evidence, then I would say Kobe has a real chance of walking.
I'm forcing you, like we would force, like Larry King would force you if you were on his show.
Larry King forces no one to do anything. What are you talking about?
All right, that's also true.
Would people with a knowledge of the law think that because Kobe and you know, obviously you're lawyered up when you're doing a negotiation, a major sports negotiation, because of the fact that he signed this deal, could that point to the fact that maybe they have some knowledge that that he's going to, you know, walk on these charges?
Well, here's the thing. When you commit a crime, you are almost often in violation of the terms of your contract with whatever sports team. So if, in fact, he's convicted, all bets would be off anyway.
Right, so it doesn't matter.
They don't have to pay him. If he's done something criminal, then they can say, hey, you know, it says right here you got to be a good boy in clause number 7, you know, paragraph 3. And you know, every company, every organization or franchise has a right to put that in contracts. So I don't think that matters. I just basically think they're dying to build a new team here, and that's that.
Hey, Pat, did you ever work at KCBS?
Certainly I did. I had 6 glorious years there getting shot at in the riots and covering Rodney King and O.J. Simpson.
Are you familiar with Lisa Joyner?
I know Lisa Joyner because we are both in the same business. We have never actually worked together.
Mm.
But we do know each other. I know what you mean.
Is she attached to anybody? Is she attached to anybody?
Is she what?
Would she find it weird that I have a satellite dish and I watch the Channel 2 News only because she is the sweetest girl I have ever seen on television?
Are you serious?
He is enamored of Lisa. Yeah. Almost as much as Martha Stewart.
Who likes Martha?
Yeah, I like a lot of women. I like a lot of ladies on TV.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, versatility is the name of the game here. That's good. If there's anything I can do on your behalf, I'd be good.
Pat, would you please weigh in on the death of the frugal gourmet who is supposed to be a kid toucher?
You know, it's supposed to. I don't want to weigh in because, you know, I think if there was a conviction, if there was. you know, more information about it than perhaps I'd expound. When it comes to child molestation, unless I have actual facts right in front of me, I'm going to take the fifth on that one.
Do celebrities hate you because you're on a show that's called Celebrity Justice?
No, you know, it's very interesting. In the beginning, when we were first told, and this is a Warner Brothers show, we're very legit. We are not tabloid. We are actually journalists who cover cases and deal with facts.
That's right.
That's the truth. And in the beginning, when I heard that they were going to call the show Celebrity Justice, I thought, oh, heck. Who the heck? I'm not allowed to say the other one, right?
Who in the world
is going to think that that's credible? But we have in fact become the credibility factor when it comes to wanting to know real facts. We do not have judgments. We do not sway on one side or the other. We pore over legal documents every day, all day. We have a team of lawyers to make sure that everything we put in
I bet you are high maintenance.
So all this boring stuff that I'm sure you. We want to go back to Lisa Joyner. Would you be happier?
No, we can talk about you. I'm sure you are one high maintenance 24 hour a day job woman.
Listen, I am double Italian. Okay, I have to get that in. Double on both sides of my family.
Oh, both sides of the family.
I have a mouth like a sailor. And
are you currently attached?
I am to a criminal defense attorney, to Heidi Weiss's attorney.
Oh, Andy.
Wow. I swear to God.
Wow.
Pat, we will watch your show, Celebrity Justice.
Please do. I want to talk to you guys some more. You're awesome.
Thank you. And so are you. Hold on. We got a picture of you on the web.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, how can you be Italian? You paint your hair yellow.
Well, you know what? First of all, I've got...
Excuse me. You dye your
hair
blonde.
I'm Northern Italian. The hair is not real, but the eyes are. I'm Northern. My father's Roman. My mother's up north. Okay?
I grew up with a lot of Northern Italians. And,
yes.
And the blue eyes. And believe me, wow.
We still got the tempers. I mean, come on.
Well, then, would like to be a part of the show, then there's one thing you have to do. You're on Celebrity Justice. Let me just ask you a question, and all you have to do is answer. It's very simple. I'm just going to ask your name.
Oh, God help me.
So here we go.
Okay.
But answer in a timely fashion, please.
Uh-huh.
For the record, what is your name? Hello? See, you missed
the
interview.
I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
It doesn't matter.
Can I have another chance?
Yeah, fortunately you do as soon as it recues.
So, we want to make sure that we get the exact pronunciation right. So.
Oh, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to save your bottom.
Very quickly,
okay.
Your full name right now.
So what is your full name?
Patricia Ana Maria La Lama.
There we go. That's our joke.
It goes.
There it is. That's what we play on our general manager and everybody that's on the show.
Pat, thank you for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure.
And good luck with Celebrity Justice.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Keep your viewers, keep your listeners viewing. That's all I got to tell you.
Very good.
How old are you, may I ask?
49.
49.
Yeah. You're 49.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Round of applause.
No plastic surgery. Nothing. I refuse to do it. Refuse.
You're good for 49. Good for you. And are you a lawyer, too?
No, I am not. I'm a journalist with a law background.
Okay. Very good.
Well, you got the ice.
I'm a graduate of Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
Very good. I'm very impressed with that.
You got the icy stare in that publicity picture.
Yes.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I am all knowing, all present, all whatever.
You deserve a pat on the back. And again, your name is?
Patrizia Ana Maria Lala.
Wow.
I hit the button too fast.
Well, good luck to you with Celebrity Justice.
Thanks for being on
guys.
The show.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, you know any celebrities with VD?
I bet she does. We tried.
We did.
We tried very hard.
You know the thing? She has TV timing. She doesn't have radio timing.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Her name was Pat LaLama.
VD. Like that.
There you go. Forever.
Married to a criminal defense attorney. Yeah.
That's right.
For Heidi Fleiss.
That's right, and headed right to that wall.
Rob, hey, for 49, you have to admit.
Wow, that's good.
Pretty good for 49.
49 and fabulous.
She's ducked it a few times.
And a quick break. Same as all the breaks. We'll be back in less than 10 minutes.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So toast them in a 350-degree oven until you can just sort of smell the nuts. And then remove them from the oven and place them on a clean cloth. And notice when I rub the nuts with the cloth, the skins kind of just fall off. I'm going to get the nuts as clean as possible. Every speck doesn't have to come off. But if you rub hard enough, most of the skin will pop right off the nut. This is a simple way to do a lot of nuts in a short period of time. The Don and Mike
Show. I gotcha.
Listen, rinse, repeat. The Don and Mike Show.
Watch the self-control. Watch, listen, learn.
Yeah! I can get it out in 14 seconds right now. I could just say, this is Don. I wish you a good weekend. And if by chance I kill my wife over the weekend, I want you to know I did it for you. For you, the listener.
Yeah!
Because all I want to do is come in and have fun during this show, and I wish my family would stop calling me during the show unless they want to be on the radio and be funny and be entertaining.
You've been very busy today on and off the air.
Other than that, please stop calling me during the commercials.
Very busy man.
Please stop calling me, wife. You know what she's doing to me now? She's doing passive-aggressive to me. She
does
the same thing to me, but... There's the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
There's...
Look at you.
There's the professionalism.
Deep breaths.
Moving past.
Deep breaths.
Ready for the Friday favorite.
Yeah.
Do have to mention that we are giving away ringside tickets for WWE Monday Night Raw live at MCI this coming Monday. We'll either give these away today or Monday. Be the guest manager for a match. Have the chance to go backstage and meet and greet with all your favorite WWE superstars.
Cool.
That is on Monday Night Raw, and that is on Spike. Spike TV. Now it's time for a Friday favorite. Bring her in.
It's game time now on JFK. It's cash for you and me.
Yeah.
It's time for Don and Mike to play.
Who else could it be today?
All right. Oh, my God.
Hey, Martha, what's happened to you?
Hi, how are you?
No, hold on a second. What happened to...
I'm just trying to toughen up. How have you been?
Can't you be your female self?
Yes, of course I can. How are you, Don?
That's my girl.
I am not afraid. I am not afraid to go to prison.
You know what's going to happen to you there.
I'm prepared for any eventuality. That's why I brought along my prison preparedness kits.
Oh, that's nice. You made that for the girls in the pen?
Absolutely. Now, look in here right here. You'll see this handy... Well, this is the terminology they use, a shiv. This is a handy shiv that I can wrap in saran wrap, tightly wrapped, neatly at the corners, so as not to have any sharp edges that might damage me internally.
Now, before you...
This is my little prison preparedness fanny pack that comes with its own shiv.
Now, before you knew you would be going to prison, did you know what a shiv was?
No, I've boned up on the lingo. I truly have. You can make a useful and decorative strap-on out of pine cones and barley. A must-have for a woman's dormitory. I'm very excited. As a matter of fact, I think that I can do wonders, and I'm not afraid when I get to the woman's dormitory inside my medium-security penal institution.
You ever wonder why it's a women's place? They call it a penal institution?
I do. I'm trying to bone up on all of the terminology for my upcoming trip to, as they like to call it, the joint. It'll be big fun, especially if I can still have my own hot plate and work on a toilet punch bowl, using that stainless steel to provide a lovely summertime beverages for all of my penal institution mistresses. Look at this Roach Rodeo play kit. It's wonderful. With just a little twine and some cardboard, you can have your own roach circus. It'll be hours of amusement for all of my fellow inmates.
Now, listen, here's what we need to know, Martha.
Yeah.
We saw you today. I like the feminine Martha.
Thank you very much. I'm aware of that.
We saw you today. Coming out of court, looking fantastic.
Well, I decided that the all-black ensemble with the matching black shoes would be the perfect thing to do in front of the judge before the judge was going to sentence me.
But now, what are you going to do when you got to put that orange jumpsuit on? What do you do to make that happen?
You should consult with TalkToMartha.com for that. And I'd like to tell everyone, if they have an opportunity, we will be back.
We will rise from the ashes, much like the phoenix, and we will continue to provide our fans with the great products that you've come to expect from the Martha Stewart Enterprise line.
You know, that's what you were saying today. I was commenting when you were commenting that it seemed you were just doing a commercial. You're going to be going to jail, but you had free time on the networks. You were doing a commercial.
Well, Don, I know you're a big fan of mine, and I will tell you that an orange jumpsuit screams out for pearls and a medium heel. It's a wonderful look, and I certainly hope that they do allow me to bring a random selection of some of my finest footwear.
Have you ever been involved with a woman romantically?
Well, those are the secrets that you'll have to find out in perhaps one of my upcoming recipe books. Perhaps I could put in the foreword or the acknowledgments some indication of my woman-on-woman activities when I was a young model growing up in New York City. But I'm not afraid of anything that prison can dish out. I've survived in the world of corporate male dominance for many, many years, and nothing scares me. A shaved-headed bull dyke storming at me in the prison cafeteria is something I can handle with my handy prison preparedness shiv kit. Simply unwrap the saran wrap,
yes.
Pull out your shiv,
uh-huh.
And get ready for hours of perfect self-defense.
Now, what if you're in the joint, when you're in the joint, I should
yes.
say,
mm-hmm.
and...
It's been explained to me what I can look forward to. Side-by-side cots.
Yes.
In a giant dormitory.
Right.
Where all the girls are considered equal until the alpha female dominates.
Mm.
And I know the tricks of the trade from my corporate boardroom experience, how to win over the biggest shim of the group.
All right, now, let's role play.
Yes.
I'll be a gigantic, monstrous bull dyke.
Yes.
It's not a stretch for me.
It's not at all. I'm enjoying this role playing.
So... Let's say we're cellmates.
Yes, go ahead.
So let's see. They shut the door. Here I am.
Well, that is a wonderful, wonderful look that you have. Did you cultivate that look while you were in prison yourself?
You my bitch.
Take me.
Wow.
That's exactly how I'll handle it.
Oh, no.
And of course, what I've decided
you made
to do,
my part so easy.
as opposed to offering any sort of resistance, which might result in physical harm, I've chosen to simply offer myself to the entire dormitory. On the first night, I'm sure that when they realize that the Martha Stewart modeling days are behind her, they'll tire of this old sack of flesh.
Well.
But if not, I'll probably just learn to enjoy and adapt to the lifestyle, and perhaps I might even enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if...
You know, I've always dreamed of having my own, how shall we say, thing. And, of course, with my wonderful new made-up one with pine cones and just a little twine, I think I could be the belle of the ball in any prison dormitory situation.
So you're willing to, no pun intended, to lay down when you get there.
I practiced.
You're going to surrender.
I practiced already. I went to second base with Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Mm.
It was wonderful. She really keeps herself in the kind of condition that I enjoy. It's a little sloppy, but after some communication,
mm-hmm.
everything's fine.
That's right.
I'll present to one and all. I absolutely will.
Do you enjoy the smell of potpourri?
I would hope that they would allow me to bring some of my scented candles into the dormitory to eliminate that nasty work smell that now, permeates most of today's penal institutions.
You know, it's that smell. I'm imagining the smell of like floors that have just been cleaned with an industrial cleaner.
Right.
Also, the smell of BO.
Yes.
The stench of bodily functions.
Well, once I start boiling my pot of lemongrass and rosemary, that'll whisk away, and I'll enjoy the company of all of my hairy female friends.
So it should be
big fun.
You mean first night when you're there?
I'm tattooing a teardrop under my right eye.
You keep calling it a dormitory. It's a prison you're going to.
I'm basically prepared to trade smokes for string and oil paint. So that I can do portraits of all of my fellow inmates. It should be big fun. And can I say to all of my supporters, I'm so happy that each and every one of them have sent those wonderful emails and cards and letters, and especially my numero uno supporter, Don Geronimo.
Well, you're very welcome.
Who enjoyed, how did you put it? It got me all hot and buttered. My cojones. Oh, I thought that was just dreamy when you said that. Thank you so much for the endorsement.
And you know, when you were lying in front of the judge today, and, again, I don't mean that, you know, figuratively.
I understand.
L-Y-I-N-G. When you were, you know,
one of the things about Don Geronimo is he knows how the game works.
When you turned on the fake tears in front of the judge before you came outside and were all pompous, how'd you get yourself to cry on command like that?
It's something that I've perfected, of course. Having the proper amount of softness and toughness in the corporate boardrooms of New York City is essential if you're going to further your career. And I learned how to use my femininity to advance the causes of Martha Stewart Enterprises. And I'm sure that I'll get with the mess hall homies to allow me to make macaroni art. Are you down with that?
It's a hard knock life.
It's a good thing. She's running.
Now, can we role play again? Because I'd like to see some
of the
performance.
I love role playing. Role playing can be very helpful in the kitchen and also anywhere in the home.
Okay, now there were no cameras in the courtroom today. There were only cameras outside.
Can I also mention one thing that I've done to prepare for my lengthy stay?
Sure.
My lengthy 5-month visit, if necessary, after the appeal is exhausted?
Yes.
I've plucked hair down there.
Oh. Hmm. Well, now, wasn't that a naturally occurring... Didn't we have this discussion about the mother on The Sopranos?
Not naturally.
Oh, poor you!
Well, I didn't really do it in order to present. I did it actually in order to cry.
Oh, but I understand.
I did it while I was in the courtroom.
Oh, so that's how you managed...
Oh. A gentle tug of my thumb and forefinger, and the waterworks began to flow.
Yeah, but if it was the... Would you do it through, like, a pocket in your pants?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Simply a nail clipper taken to the inside of the pocket to provide a 2-inch slit for plenty of access for the hand to do some serious plucking.
You say it was a 2-inch slit?
I
gotta stop this right now.
My wonderful oversized pants unraveled like a bag of dog food. It was very a good thing.
We're going to break.
Yeah.
We're going to make it be a good idea to break right now.
Yes, absolutely. We should break or someone won't be getting lace cookies for Christmas.
I have no idea if we have a champion or not for this game. So what the hell? Dial recklessly. We need two callers, maybe one. 877-365-3636.
My first cot mate will receive Martha Stewart's special prison recipe for mozzarella sticks.
Is this homemade?
Yes, the old pluck and cry.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I saw this movie once where the president is just tickled that anything he wants to eat he can get in a moment's notice. Here, it turns out it's the perfect century. Otto.
Yes, Mr. President?
Yeah, sorry for the late notice. For lunch, could you arrange some coq au vin with a side of penne?
Spicy or mild?
Spicy. And, hazelnut pudding for dessert.
No problem, sir.
One day I'll catch him napping.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sanitize for your protection.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
That was a clip from a movie called The Contender that had something to do with food preparation.
Yes, food preparation in the White House kitchen. And I've been thinking quite a bit about food preparation myself. I'm very excited about my upcoming stay in one of America's finest institutions. Prison meatloaf. It'll be a symphony with just a hint of cumin.
It seems to me that you're not upset about going to the big house.
I've been giving all of my energy and thought to how I'm going to make my stay in a penal institution something special. Mm-hmm. You know, simple things can give you the best ideas for any difficult situation. And I've been thinking that floral patterns can turn an institutional green into a stimulating spring garden.
Now, what happens that first,
Donnie?
What happens that first night when you're in the community shower? When you're outnumbered?
I believe that the right fragrances can turn even the most heinous dyke into a tomcat or a pussycat, whichever way you want to put it.
But what happens that first night when you're there and you've disrobed and you're cleaning?
The first thing I'm going to do is lecture all of my prison homies.
Oh, that's not going to go over.
No.
They're not going to listen to a lecture from
but
you.
But I'm bursting with ideas. A bit of cinnamon hides the odor of 100 dissatisfied ladies.
No.
Have you seen like
stainless steel prison toilet can double as a handy cosmetic caddy?
Have you seen like on the Discovery Channel where they'll throw a piece of meat into the jungle and you see the lions and the tigers go after
I'm sure that what you're getting at is the fact that perhaps I would be made into some sort of toy.
There you go.
Yeah, where I would be a ball of yarn for the prison kitten.
Again, that's correct twice.
I believe those days have passed and my elderly state will preserve my body.
I disagree. You know, see the thing is,
I'm making it a good thing.
You're so hot for 60, whatever you are.
Yes.
That there's going to be that certain percentage of the population that really wants to get to know you.
Well, I'll design a lovely paper flower to put on the community prison TV. A 600 thread count linen napkin will make a festive do-rag.
Let's play low-budget Jeopardy.
This is low-budget Jeopardy. And thanks again for all of your wonderful warm wishes on TalkToMartha.com. Let's say hi to a steel fabricator from Ogden, Utah. Let's say hi to Marty Meslow.
Hello there, Marty.
Hello.
Marty must be listening on the Salt Lake Station, right? K-A-L-L.
I am, LQ.
And now entering the studios, our big brainiac, our one-day winning total of $49 belongs to our Tampa network engineer, Mr. Bob Colton.
Bob Colton listening on 1010 The Buzz in Tampa Bay. Bob, being our returning low-budget Jeopardy champion, how has it changed your life, my friend?
Well, LQ, I've been thinking of becoming a Mormon to keep this low-budget Jeopardy thing going.
And now entering the studios, the host of Low-Budget Jeopardy. Remember, Marty and Bob, don't screw with LQ. It's not a good thing. And say hi to Alex Trebek-Geronimo.
Oh, thank you. Hi, fellas. And here's your categories, and they are the Emmy nominations.
I probably won't be watching a lot of TV. I'll be doing light reading if I have a single cell.
Well, you probably have, like, a community TV room.
I won't be up for that.
I bet you will.
It depends.
Name that carry.
I do look good in orange.
Celebrity true or false?
I love celebrities.
Sing us some classic rock.
Poo-poo.
And Anchorman.
Anchorman. Oh,
Anchorman.
You're fond of that.
I love that movie.
Yes. Will Ferrell looks wonderful in Tidy Whiteys.
Here you go. The Emmy nominations, Name That Carry, Celebrity True or False, Sing Us a Song, and Anchorman. Marty, you're the challenger. We'll start with you.
I would like to go with Emmy nominations.
All right. This HBO series got the second most nominations out of all shows.
What?
Oh. Dude, you got to be faster than that.
Bob, it's your chance to steal.
What is it, Sopranos?
Sopranos. Righto.
$1 for you. You're off and running, champion.
Emmy nominations, too.
For two. This male member of Friends.
Oh.
No, please. Oh. You reading? You're not going to be able to think about anything like that for the next 5 months.
You know, Big Don, you've always made me go pitter-pat.
This male member of Friends was nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy.
Who is not LeBlanc?
Righto.
$2 for you, Bob.
I'll stick with that category for three, please.
He's the only dead guy bestowed a current nomination.
Who?
Marty, it's your chance to steal.
Who is John Ritter?
Right, John Ritter, right.
And with that quick answer, you've tied the game. Select again, Marty. This is a good game.
Celebrity true or false?
Celebrity true or false? Oh, you got a 50-50 shot on this. Here you go. Paris Hilton can type 75 words per minute.
False.
That was not in the form of a question.
All right, Bob Arino, it's your chance to steal.
What is false?
Oh. Paris Hilton can type.
Wow.
Marty, it's your control.
Wow. Celebrity true or false? For two.
Samuel L. Jackson has agreed to play TV's Kojak in a made-for-cable movie.
What is true?
Negative.
Bob, your chance to steal again.
What is false?
Right, it's Ving Rhames.
Now you've taken the lead. Go for it, as I fantasize about P. Diddy favoring me with a conjugal visit. Go ahead, Bob.
Celebrity true or false for three, please.
Don Rickles was an invited guest at Tori Spelling's recent wedding.
What is true?
Correct.
$3 for you, Bob. Congratulations.
Name that carry for one.
Name that carry. Here we go. He's the Democratic nominee for president.
Who is John Kerry?
You know what?
Exactly. Too slow.
Too
you
slow.
You should have known that right away, Bob.
That's
why did you have the
softball?
No cranial cramps allowed on Low Budget Jeopardy. It's not a good thing. Marty, your chance to steal.
Who is John Kerry?
Say it strong like that. Step up strong to the microphone. Here we go now. Kerry for two. She's a once-hot diva hitmaker who might be screwy in the head.
Who is Mariah Carey?
No.
Too late. Too late.
We're not going to allow the stammering and stumbling. Bob, your chance to steal.
Who is Mariah Carey?
Yes.
$2 for you, Bob. Select again.
Name that Carey for three, please.
She lives in constant fear of her husband.
Who is Melissa Carey?
Marty, your chance to steal.
Who is Carey from the movies?
No.
Who is Carrie Spiewag?
Spiewag.
Rob's wonderful wife, Carrie.
Bob, you're in control.
Anchorman for one, please.
Anchorman, yes. Will Ferrell tells the story of this man's life.
Who is Dan Rather?
Marty, your chance to steal.
Oh, last name. Who is Brandy?
No, I believe there are distractions going on with one of our contestants, and that will not wash.
Somebody sounds like somebody's at, like, TGI McGillicuddy's.
Please let my pre-prison visit not be spoiled by lack of attention.
And it's Ron Burgundy.
Bob, you're in control.
Anchorman for two, please.
The city in which Ron Burgundy works.
What is Cincinnati?
Marty, your chance to steal.
What is New York?
Fellas, beautiful San Diego.
Bob, you're still in control.
Anchorman for three, please.
You'll never get this. We can maybe guess. The channel Ron Burgundy, he works for in San Diego.
What is 69?
Marty, your chance to steal.
What is four?
There you go.
$3 for you.
Good guess. Oh, and we got only one category left, and it's sing us some classic rock.
And we've got a horse race with Bob with $10 and Marty with $7, big dollars floating around as we do our kind of insider trading.
Sing us some classic rock for one. Who's in charge here, darling? And you look great in that house coat, Martha.
Thank you, Don. If you want, I'll loosen the robe strap.
Ooh.
Marty is in control.
All right, Marty, sing us some classic rock. Pleased to be singing Creedence, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Bob, a little too challenging for that.
Bob, your chance to steal.
Apparently the whole concept. Let me explain to you how this would work. Martha,
yes,
if I said to you, please to sing CCR, Have You Never Seen the Rain, in the form of a question, you would say...
What is?
I want to know... Have you ever seen rain?
Oh, thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Nice.
It's a good thing.
Yay.
Marty, you're in control.
Okay, dummies, here we go. Sing us classic rock for two. The Doors, pleased to be singing Light My Fire.
What is... Go ahead and light my fire.
I'm sorry, everyone knows it's not Go Ahead.
What a pathetic effort. Bob, your chance to steal.
What is Come On Baby, Light My Fire?
Now that's more what we're looking for.
Indeed, select again, Big Bob. And do you mind if I slip off these faded pink slip-on slippers?
Knock yourself out. The final question on the big board.
Wow.
Sing us a classic rock song. Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water.
What is Smoke on the Water? There's fire in your eyes.
Well,
dude, you can't possibly give it to him.
No,
Marty, you can't give that tard that.
That was good.
Marty, your chance to steal.
What is smoke on the water and fire in the sky?
You know, close enough.
Yeah.
That's close enough for government work. Let's give it to
$3, and that's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
All right, now, who's got what here, Martha?
Slim Lee for Bob Colton from Tampa with $12. Marty Meslow from Ogden, Utah has $10. Marty Meslow from Ogden, Utah.
All right, guys, anything can happen in final Low Budget Jeopardy where we physically force you both to bet at all.
Ooh.
What?
What? Bunions.
Oh.
They're so sore.
Here's your category. I don't would look
you
at me.
Would you pick them for me? Someone in prison will. Would you pick my opinion?
Ain't a foot person.
Okay.
Let me see them, though.
Here we are. Let me hoist them up.
Look at this.
I bet you didn't expect that the queen of wonderful home accessories has this much hair on her toes.
Looks like I'm looking at a Herman Munster's feet.
If you pick them, stop before there's blood.
Here's your category, guys. Now, come on. One of you can win here. Final low-budget Jeopardy. Answer in the form of a question. Good luck. And your category is Real Jeopardy. Okay, so here you go. Here's the answer. He's the guy who's won over 30 times in a row and has won over $1 million on the Real Jeopardy. I know you've seen this guy every day. But what's his name? The name of the guy that's won Jeopardy over 30 times in a row. Don't forget, in the form of a question, and good luck.
All contestants on Low-Budget Jeopardy will receive an exquisite replica of the Martha Stewart prison fighting ring. In order to protect myself when I go away, I've worked with the good people at Harry Winston to create this one-of-a-kind ring in beautiful 18-karat gold, featuring a lovely oak leaf cluster with razor-sharp edges designed to open up a can of whoop-ass on any bitch who tries to grab a piece of my jumper. It's a good thing. Now back to Final Lovage of Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you. Thank you, lady. Thank you, nice lady.
Time for Don and Mike to play.
And gosh, who do we go to first here?
Marty with the party.
Marty, on the Real Jeopardy, he is the guy who has won over 30, I think he won 31, he won last night, right?
Right.
He has won over 30 times in a row, won over $1 million on the Real Jeopardy.
He's cheating.
Who is the nerdy guy from Salt Lake?
The thing is, yeah, you should have had his name. You are from there.
Marty, that knocks you down to zero.
Oh.
Okay, Bob, if you have the correct answer in the form of a question, you're the big wiener.
Who is Ken?
Oh, now I will give you just a second to say the last name. One guess only.
The Mormon.
That knocks you down to zero. We don't have a champion today.
Guy's name is Ken Jennings. Ken Jennings is the nerdy guy from Salt Lake. And you, Marty, you're listening on the Salt Lake station.
I know.
Oh, Jesus is going to be pissed at you. This is the type of game that Alan Limewand, the Penny Meister, will love. No money changing hands today.
No money, honey.
Don't go away mad. Just go away. Bob and Marty, here's the lovely Martha Stewart to tell you what you've won.
Thank you, Don. And I just want to say, before I go away,
yes,
to the joint upriver, as they say,
yeah,
it's been a pleasure working with you on this radio show.
See you in 5 months.
Marty and Bob, you didn't win any money, but let me tell you about your prizes. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations. You have won an Entourage prize pack, courtesy of HBO. Don't miss the premiere of HBO's new comedy series, Entourage. Sunday, July 18th at 10 p.m. 9 Central, only on HBO.
There's something with the reading with everybody, isn't there? I like that. It's not that she can't read.
Of course, I'm a very skilled reader. Yes. I'm a brilliant woman who's built my own business empire. Congratulations, you have won a Ali G prize pack. Courtesy of HBO. You check this out again. HBO will air an all-new season of the Ali G Show, premiering Sunday, July 18th, 10:30 p.m., 9:30 Central on HBO. Congratulations, both Marty and Bob, and thanks for playing the game, although poorly.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend, Well, Martha, what can I say that this, I guess, is the beginning of the end now?
I've provided you with a gift upon my departure.
Yeah, what is that, darling?
It's a lovely antique mason jar filled with my bunion scabs. Call them trinkets to play with while I go away.
Now, here's what I have to think, though.
Yes.
Do I save them and collect them? Or do I get home tonight and eat them?
You do neither, my friend. If I can offer you one good use for my bunion scabs.
Besides either selling them or eating them?
One a day makes a delicious cup of tea. Martha tea. You'll taste me in every mouthful.
They're going to love you in jail, honey.
Or you can use them in place of dried cranberries.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Christ. That's me.
He made it up.
I'll tell you something. You got a lot of tapes, Jack.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
I'm excited about this man over here. You know, I'm a big fan.
Oh, that's so nice, Martha.
Wouldn't I love to get you on a beach in the Hamptons?
Well,
you know, he
perhaps
swings.
In a few months.
I've always had a vicious itch for Mr. Newshouse.
Yeah. Well,
what is your lead story on the news and comments, Buzz?
You remind me of Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Oh, boy, thank you.
You do.
Oh, Homeland. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Oh, I'll plie for you anytime.
Today. Homeland.
I don't know where the Mikhail Baryshnikov came from.
It came from the mind of Martha.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Would you leave, Buzz?
Today, homeland insecurity. In this day and age, you can't even get sick.
What's my favorite thing about the ballet?
What?
The pants the men wear.
Yes.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Martha, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, it's delightful. And you tell Mr. Newsman anytime he wants to burst forth from his tights, he can come and see me.
Don't forget, Love and Jeopardy's production of
The Acorn Incorporated and is distributed by King World. Now I'm going to go boohoo.
It's a fake. Here, you bitch.
Talk to Martha.com.
Oh, and that was all very
professional.
There you go. Goodbye. See you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They always play the tired card. Don and Mike.
Right. Got a couple up my sleeve right now.
Uh-huh.
Like about 25 out in the front yard. The people from the creepy.com website are there. They're listeners of our show. It's trickled back to me now. Uh-huh. They've driven from as far away as the Carolinas.
Yes.
To have a picnic in front of our radio station.
An annual picnic.
Got the barbecue fired up, and I'd like to say hi to my friend Raymond, who has joined them out there.
Your butler is out there?
My unemployed butler. He's former butler.
That's good. Well, he'll fit right in with the creepy people.
Yes, yes, he will.
He's still without a job?
No, he doesn't. He no longer works as my man's man.
But he's not a butler anywhere?
No.
Not even with the reference you gave? He's not your bon vivant?
No, he is not.
Your bon vivant?
He is not my...
Your Bon Jovi, your Bow Wow Wow, your little Bow Wow, your...
I you know...
Bang a gong.
Someday we might re-employ him, and I say we as my gentleman's gentleman, but unfortunately, right now, he has business that takes him out of town.
Ah. It's time for... We won't even ask. It's time for news and comments with Buzz.
International business.
Yeah, brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers, break the nasty habit without gaining weight. A Smoke Break, revolutionary tablet for smokers, available now at fine retailers. Let me just say this before we go to Buzz.
Yes.
I find it amazing that the show has an audience every day. But I find it even more amazing when Rob is looking on the computer, and I'm reading the bio for the guy who's playing a box of records on Mix 107.3.
Okay. Yes, across town.
Now, how is it that this guy is just not kicking our ass?
I don't get it.
Monday through Friday. Listen to the bio.
Okay.
Now keep in mind...
It's the new guy, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that they had a new afternoon guy. But keep in mind, he's playing the same bad 30 records
that
they should always play.
Same as always.
But listen to this and tell me if I'm not rightly scared. Mm-hmm. Call me old Yellowstain.
Well, you should. You should be.
So Rob said, you know, they got a new afternoon guy.
Okay.
Right. I said, I'm unaware. So here's what it says.
All right.
Personalities. His name, now get this, Mike.
What is it?
It's just Carson.
Carson.
It's just Carson.
Oh,
it's wild stuff. And you know what's good is that he's got one, Carson, of course, for Carson Daly.
Mm-hmm.
The new trend, though, is to name yourself Kobe.
Oh, Kobe.
For a while, it was Hollywood. The name that he was, hey, this is Hollywood.
Then there was Shadow.
Shadow was popular. Mm-hmm. Then Carson. And now the big one now is, hey, 97X, Kobe with you on the
screen. Kobe.
You know what's going to come back, I bet?
What?
Super.
Super.
Mm-hmm. Super Cat.
Super Shat.
Oh, Kobe, a name that sells Carson a little yesterday's news.
Yeah.
So,
that sounds interesting when you move that microphone.
You're scared?
So, yeah, and here's why, Buzz. Carson, Monday through Friday, 2 to 7.
And then he writes something about himself?
Saturday, 10 to 3.
Oh, 6 days.
Hey, everyone. It's Carson.
Super.
Mix 107.3's newest personality. I may be new to Washington, but not to radio. I've been doing morning radio for 15 years, including stints in Minneapolis and most recently, Cincinnati.
Hey, welcome to the big time.
Besides radio, I'm a nationally syndicated comedy writer.
Super!
Featured on hundreds of shows around the country.
Hundreds.
The Rush Limbaugh Program, The Bob and Tom Show, to name a few.
Hey, big names. Bring them out, Casey.
I also have spent a little time doing stand-up comedy. Super duper. My passion is the welfare of kids.
Liar.
And the protection of child abuse.
Liar.
I am also involved with the American Cancer Society.
Super duper.
And
that's the good guy credentials.
The Salvation Army.
Wonderful. Ring that bell.
I consider every day I get to walk into the radio a blessing.
Wow.
I get to talk into the radio, not walk, I'm sorry.
I'm getting all filled up.
That's why my business card says simply, Carson, comma, employed.
Brilliant!
When I'm not at work, I enjoy every second I can with my beautiful wife, Kelly, and my wonderful four-year-old son, Will. Yeah, okay, so
that's his rap.
And I
no, that, that's not the rap, that's the mix, whatever it is.
You might as well just pack up this dog and pony
clearly
show.
Clearly screwed.
That's the mix, whatever it is, good guy sheet. I mean, because for goodness sakes, listen to this. Mm-hmm. Not only is he a cool guy with one name, he cares about all the right causes.
Everybody.
I mean, he came from Cincinnati.
Yes, where he was doing his good works there.
Buena suerte, Carson.
Jive ass.
Can't
get any more jive.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm Carson.
It's Carson. It's Carson. Wild stuff. I enjoy wild times.
And I bet there's more personality on that fake info thing that I just read than that poor schmuck is allowed to do on whatever type of a radio show he's doing right now where he's talking every fifth record, reading some pre-produced card about how it's the best. And can you imagine when they're sitting down there doing that? They go, okay, now hold on. What do you like? And he goes, oh, I don't know. I like drinking, and I like cars, and I like, you know, watching Spike TV. And they go, no. Are you familiar with the Salvation Army?
Oh, put that on there.
Yeah, I heard of them.
That's a great idea. Good job. What's your name? It's Manny Rabinowitz.
No. From now on, your name is Carson.
Well, isn't he some kind of TV personality?
Or Carson. But hold on, wait. What if I combined the both and said, from now on, your name is Carson Kobe.
There you go. Wow. All right, today's look at the competition.
Or left there. Hi, everybody. Mix 107. Carson Kobe with you. Oh, but it's a super weekend. Why don't you say again, it's the best mix. Don't hurt kids this weekend. Give to the Salvation Army. Of course, the COVID.
Whoa, this boy's
God. God!
Can I have one?
Yeah.
You
through.
Same one.
There you go. Here you go.
Hey, everybody. It's Carson. Hey, listen, this weekend, don't beat a kid with cancer. Give him a toy from the Salvation Army. I'm Carson. I can't wait to get off so I can spend some great times with my wife and my four-year-old, Bud Will.
Oh, this boy's strange arrangements.
Well, obviously, it's time to start talking about the charity work you guys do.
Absolutely.
Great. Hey, Carson Kobe with you. I heard the fat guys on the talk show gave away some money for a car today. That's nothing. Have you seen the picture of the kid with muscular dystrophy? It's on the Jack Diamond page of the Mix 107.3 Morning Show page. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, of course not.
When Rob originally went to the site, he clicked on Jack Diamond first.
Jack's been trading on that for years.
Yeah. And Jack Diamond has, as the lead item on his page on the website,
right,
the kid from muscular dystrophy that died like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, wow. He's always doing that.
That's what that station's all about.
Sure.
They really don't care about playing good music or offering any type of personality. What they do is, you know, it's like everything in America. They prey on what you're most afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing is, they do it in that sappy, phony radio Hallmark way, like, hey, we care about kids. Come on. So let's spend some good time talking about cancer. How about you get off your ass, Carson, or whatever your name really is, and go do something about cancer, but don't brag about it on a webpage.
Amen!
Carson
cares. Hallelujah.
I'm Carson. I've spent some time protecting the kids in Minneapolis mm-hmm. and Cincinnati.
Then I put on my superhero coat and flew to D.C.
And I noticed that Jack Diamond on his webpage, darn it, he beat me to the punch. He's got the picture of the kid that died from muscular dystrophy, the Jerry Lewis kid.
Man, I'll have to find some other cause to be phony about.
Heck, I'll have to find some other cause. My name's not Carson Kobe.
I didn't know they were formatting that whole... tug the heartstrings format.
Yeah.
Hollywood, this is Hollywood Carson Kobe. Shadow Hollywood Carson Kobe D's.
This is Super Hollywood Carson Kobe with you.
And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. As I said earlier, the subject is homeland insecurity, and at first it sounded so sinister. People started vomiting one after another on an airliner arriving at Baltimore Washington International Airport last night.
There we go. Right there. That's right, boy.
The pilot on that Southwest flight from Houston radioed ahead for emergency medical crews to meet the plane and isolate it on landing.
In Baltimore. Hello, this is Marty Bass. We got a problem with a plane coming into BWI.
I don't know what it is, but they're sure up chucking.
Hazmat crew.
Has anybody called Carson from Mix 107?
We got some kids here.
Hazmat crews went on board to test the air inside the airliner. They found nothing toxic or abnormal. In the end, only one person went to the hospital, and that was the woman with the stomach flu who got sick in the first place. Southwest says it is now determined that the other people who vomited were suffering from, and I quote, sympathy nausea.
You know,
there are people who have. I've got that.
No, yeah, I know. Sure. It's just funny hearing Buzz say that. What did they suffer from, Buzz?
Sympathy nausea.
Here's the thing. You know it's not the food if it was Southwest Airlines,
right?
Because they don't serve food on Southwest Airlines.
What it really was, technically, was the blueberry pie scene from Stand By Me.
Right. Can you imagine that? You see, you go, I smell Parmesan. Oh, Monica. Oh. And then the next thing you know, these guys in hazmat suits meet you going,
we understand that there may be some terrorist activity on this plane.
You know, really, take time to laugh when you're in between the government trying to terrorize you.
Folks, this is your pilot, Carson Kobe.
This is the shortest story you'll ever see me do. In TV news, they have raised the age limit on American Idol from 24 to 26. Discuss.
Oh, big whoop.
Well, no. Buzz, I didn't know that they had
it. Do you think they're doing that, though, in response to the fact that it was such a suck-a-thon last time?
No, but here's the thing. What they need to do is clip it on the other end. What they've done is raise the minimum. They've made it so that you can be, what, up to 26 years old now to be an American Idol?
16 to 26 now instead of 16 to 24.
See, wouldn't you like it better if it was like 18 to 26?
Yes, because I don't want another DiGiarmo.
Yeah, you take out the Diana DiGiarmo and the red-haired boy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, no, not him.
See, I thought that they should move the age the other way. And I know I mentioned it before, but it's worth repeating that the CSI fired those two people.
Right.
That's television-related also. And mm-hmm. what are their names, Buzz?
Georgia Fox, who's the brunette with the gap in her teeth. Right. Pretty cute, in my opinion. And then George Eads, the dashing sort of military guy with dark hair.
Now, have any of the other cast members dug their heels in on this and say...
Not at this time. Okay. No. William Peterson, by the way, says this upcoming season is his last season. Either way, he's mm-hmm. out. And now they fired these two for asking for more money. George Eads didn't show up for work. That's why they fired him. Georgia Fox did show up for work, but because she didn't answer CBS's letter asking if she would show up for work, they canned her, too. And that's what happened there.
Don't worry about George Eads, though. He's still going to be in the Evel Knievel movie.
Knievel, right?
Oh, yeah, very good.
I like George Eads, though. George Eads is kind of that tough guy.
I like
guy.
Them both. But, you know, here's the thing, though. And watch me work a plug-in. Mm-hmm. Monday, when the president of our company, Leslie Moonves, mm-hmm. Leigh Moonves, comes on again to chat about the state of affairs at Infinity Broadcasting and CBS.
Right.
We'll ask him about this. And I bet he probably won't be honest, but here's the answer. The show's on Thursday night at 9.
It's got bright colors. You got William Peterson and Marg Helgenberger. Mm-hmm. You could put the idiot from Yes, Dear as one of the techs, and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, monkeys banging on drums. That's all we need. Fix the nose.
Fix the nose.
And the interesting thing about this is...
Julie, you look wonderful since you had that plastic surgery I heard about on Donna Mike's show at goodplasticsurgery.com.
Amen. When Patty Heaton and Peter Boyle and Doris Roberts tried the same tactic last year, CBS did not fire them. They did fire Georgia Fox and George Eads for doing the same
thing. Well, it's a different thing. I really do.
That's what the network says.
It's much different.
And it's a franchise show. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you got basically the same show with CSI Miami, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now I'm looking forward to the one with Gary Sinise, CSI New York.
You know, it's really, it's the ultimate. And we had just a brief, you know, whiff of that years ago when we did something with Fox. But the TV system, the contract system in television is really amazing. I mean, you have to play hardball. And, you know, if and they play it back. And if you're not in the right position, you're gone. I mean, that's how hard it is. And really, you're not going to get the raise unless you're invaluable.
Yeah, and the only people who could walk and kill CSI would be William Peterson or Marg Helgenberger.
That's it.
You know, beyond those two, the other actors are all great.
Right.
But you said Peterson will leave. I bet he holds them up for more money.
We'll
and he
see.
Comes back for
he's been pretty bitter
for a seventh season.
Oh no, but he's got personal reasons. He's going to be looking after his brother, Scott.
You make jokes because you got it wrong. He was related to Lacey.
Sorry. Not surprisingly, another TV news. Jeopardy's ratings have gone through the roof since word got out about the current winning streak of Ken Jennings. He's now set some records. First to win over $1 million on the game show. He's appeared on more consecutive editions of the game than anyone else besides Alex Trebek. The syndicated brain teaser's taking audiences away from, ratings are down for, Wheel of Fortune, Family Feud, and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I saw on some show they were interviewing, maybe it was The Last Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was great because the guy's from the basement of the science building.
Is he bitter?
Although someone's given him a nice goatee and fixed his hair up, he is bitter. And here's what he has to say. And really, the guy has nothing to be bitter about.
No.
When he was on Jeopardy, you could only win five times.
Right.
So he won all five. This is the story he was telling on the show I watched.
Right.
He won all five times. Then he got invited back to the Tournament of Champions.
Ah.
And he won that.
Mm.
Then he got invited back for the Jeopardy $1 million win, $1 million one-time tournament, and he won that, too.
Wow.
So he's on TV saying...
It's not a big deal.
That's exactly it. Saying, how come nobody's paying attention to me?
It's not a big deal.
And he also said that if given the chance... He could have won 30 times in a row.
Sure.
But they made him stop after five.
It's so light, though, you know, to come out. And nobody's coaching him the right way.
I know. And then he was saying, and here's what people don't understand. He was giving the guy a compliment, the guy who's got the gig now, saying, what people don't understand is that they tape all five shows in one day.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so understand, when I was on my streak, I did all of my work in one day.
Wow.
This man, Ken... He's had to do all of this in, and he stops for a moment. And for being on Jeopardy, I'm surprised he had to do the math. He goes, 6 days. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are six pretty intense days. 30 episodes in 6 days where you don't get any questions wrong.
And I'm reasonably sure that if he wins again, I'm going to eat the shotgun.
There you go.
He's the kind of guy who would call after the secret sound contest to say he knew all along what it was.
Thank you, Mr. Stemple.
John Kerry has accepted an invitation to an independently sponsored presidential debate. The president... Not so much. The White House still hasn't answered the invite from the Commission on Presidential Debates. It's set up a schedule for three face-offs, one on domestic policy, one on foreign affairs, and one where undecided voters can ask questions about any issue.
How about one if you just want to shave Theresa Hines' mustache?
It'd be a separate event, really. The Commission's also asked for one debate between the vice presidential candidates. That one would feature little Johnny Edwards and Vice President Dick Cheney. And now that John Kerry has chosen his running mate, Dick Cheney has chosen his. Cheney and the White House say he'll stay on as Bush's vice presidential candidate. There were rumors that the Bush campaign might dump Cheney since he's currently about as popular as Old Man Potter in the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, I just want to say...
George Bailey?
George, you're going to keep me on this ticket, and you're going to keep me on the ticket as long as I'm alive. Otherwise, I'll run you out of town on a reel.
But if you align yourself politically...
Daddy! Yeah. Eddie, teacher says every time a bell rings, another one of our soldiers is killed in the war that you got us into without asking.
Mind your P's and Q's, little one, and get out of here and fix me a plate of jambalaya. I don't care what my heart doctor says. I've got a bad ticker and I'm going to eat all the greasy fried food, or my name's not Richard Cheney.
If you align yourself politically with guys who play mobsters on TV, you'll want to vote Bush Cheney. Tony Sirico,
Tony Soprano?
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Well, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Can't speak for him, but Tony Sirico, who plays Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos.
I'm a Republican, Pete. I'm a Republican. I'm a good Republican, Pete.
He came out to the Bell Harbor Yacht Club in Queens yesterday to come out strongly for Bush.
I believe in the Bush Cheney ticket, Pete.
Was he wearing a Puma jogging suit?
Probably. Quoting him, I'm here because I'm a far to the right Republican.
If there's one guy you probably don't want on your team.
No.
Can you imagine that? They go, okay, Mr. Bush, we have good news and bad news. We do have a Hollywood celebrity who everybody knows. Here's the bad news. It's Paulie Walnuts.
There you go, Pete. I'm supporting him the whole way. That's what I'm doing, Pete.
Him and Dennis Miller so far.
Okay, Dennis Miller's a good guy.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
A theater operator in Lewisburg, PA has noticed that very few Republicans are coming to see Fahrenheit 9/11. So he's inviting them tomorrow. And he says if they show him proof of their party affiliation, like a membership card or the secret handshake, he'll buy their ticket for them. But not necessarily because he thinks Michael Moore is right. The theater manager is also a film professor at Bucknell University. He calls the movie fantastic and fantastically flawed. He also calls it provoking and intriguing.
Oh, and stay tuned, because I think Beth Ann was telling me, remember 4 years ago when I switched Republican,
mm-hmm.
and the guy came down and they gave me all the badges,
right.
and all that
right.
stuff? He's coming back, I think, on Tuesday, because he wants to know from the Northern Virginia Republicans where I'm going.
Wow.
Really? Yeah, that's right.
I'll provide you with a dossier, T.
And I think, Paulie Walnuts, you might be mad at me when I make my selection this year.
There you go. Okay.
Wow.
I'm thinking very strongly about flip-flopping back the other way.
Oh, you don't want to get me too mad. Don't want to get me, Christopher. Christopher.
Chrissy. Why don't we call
Christopher, we're trapped in the woods.
Chrissy.
Say, can we eat that ketchup packet? The worst episode ever of The Sopranos.
That was directed, or was it written by Steve Buscemi? Was that one directed by him?
Yeah. Directed by Steve Buscemi.
Buzz?
Yes.
Break here. We'll come back and the full segment is next. So what is next?
Britney Spears opens a can of legal whoop-ass on the New York Post.
Right on. We'll be right back. Yes.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
After Bath.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Forget it. I'm halfway home. The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Joe.
Forget it.
Joe.
I think we're sending Joe out next week for Jomo's.
Good.
I believe what we're going to do is send him to Fahrenheit 9/11 after the theater is leaving, when people are leaving the theater.
Right.
Joe will say, did you just go to the movies? Yes. May I ask you a few questions? Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the questions will be about Spider-Man.
Perfect.
And, you know, all the other stuff that we always ask.
Excellent.
Nothing to do with Fahrenheit 9/11. Here now is our friend Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Dom and Mike. Well, the New York Post, the paper that recently declared Dick Gephardt as Kerry's running mate, will soon face a lawsuit from Britney Spears. Yesterday, the Post published a picture of Britney drinking from a little bottle. The paper speculated it was an airline-style mini bottle of Scotch whiskey, even named the brand, which it said she then washed down with a can of Red Bull soda. It was actually a little bottle of ginseng, an herbal liquid aimed at boosting energy and mental clarity.
I have to tell you, who really broke this story, not that it's a giant story to break.
Right.
I'm watching Regis and Kelly.
Hi there.
Like I do every day,
right.
Because I love. They have great wit, great energy, great chemistry. I mean, they're really good together.
Yeah.
So he holds up the picture,
right?
And it's always great to see Regis because he has like ladies' fingernails. He never cuts his fingernails. 72-year-old.
There you go. It's too tedious. Too many.
So he holds this thing up and he goes, "Hey, look at this, Britney boozing," and Kelly Ripa says she's not drinking booze. That's ginseng. Ooh. And Regis holds the picture back up and goes,
what?
But look, they're coming out of a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they sell that in liquor stores.
That's right.
And then she said,
Kelly's on the ball.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Regis still is going, but it says right here, mm-hmm. Brittany the Boozer. And she says, look at the picture, Regis. Mm-hmm. Not only is she holding a bottle of ginseng and a can of Red Bull, her idiot boyfriend, fiancé,
right.
has a can of Diet Coke in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right, and outed by Kelly Pippa Ripa.
Amazing. What the hell is ginseng?
Exactly.
You had to know that that was on his mind.
Is that a drug?
No.
Oh, God. Ah, my fingernails. Look at these claws.
They're beautiful.
Too many digits.
Brittany wants a retraction and an apology and a stack of cash, more for punishment than for income. Her story is backed up by the clerk who sold the ginseng, a 10-milliliter bottle of Panax Red Ginseng Extractum.
Mm-hmm. Man, it is a bad time for the New York Post. I mean, that's that. Even though that's not on the scale of breaking the Gephardt thing, that is still, you know, two in a row, and it's just not good for
and there it's probably, I know it is all over the Daily News, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Daily News loves the fact that the Post screwed up.
Sure.
Testicular surgery.
Oh!
Is a delicate operation requiring a...
Tell me about it.
It requires a sound mind and a steady hand for the surgeon wielding the knife. But in Bucharest yesterday, a doctor went nuts during the surgery and cut off the patient's primary reproductive organ.
Oh my.
The crazed doc then proceeded to cut the organ into three pieces as one might prepare sausage for one's pasta.
Oh.
The doctor was not only a senior member of the university hospital staff, he was a professor of anatomy there. The patient's wife has filed a lawsuit while the hospital...
Hey, what happened?
Well, that's what the hospital wants to know. They're investigating what they call...
Hey, what happened?
The doctor's madness.
I would like to think he'd say something more than that.
Hey, what happened?
Cars in the summer go thump, thump, thump. The hip-hop beat shakes the street with high-powered subwoofers pounding out the bass notes from car stereos.
Yo, yo!
But not in Detroit anymore.
Why?
The city council there has voted to fine any subwoofer owners whose rhythm can be heard or felt from 10 feet away.
Hey, what are you doing, Mike?
Bravo. I'm being an old man, Doc.
Turn it down!
According to one city councilwoman, your heart starts beating out of your chest.
Turn it down, McLeod.
The fine's $100 for the first offense.
What?
This is my recital. I think it's very vital.
What, bud?
To rock around.
That's right.
On top of it. Here we go. It's time to rock around. To rock around. That's right.
What?
Up to 90 days
what?
In jail.
Hey,
turn
I'm
that crap
warm.
Down.
What, Buzz?
That's
the
fine.
For the first offense, and then...
Girl.
Second offense.
What, Mike? My music is not your music.
Bust out.
How do you do it?
$100 for the first offense. $200 for the second offense, $300 for the third offense, and up to 90 days in jail for four or more.
All right.
Would you be mad if I was driving down the road and you heard this?
Would you yell at someone who is listening to this, Mike? Hey, dude, are you gay?
Please don't talk about love tonight.
You bet.
Please don't talk about
gay or the gay?
They have banned nude canoeing in the county where I spent the summers of my youth.
Boo!
Along the Elk River in McDonald County, Missouri, people have been paddling by in the nude. Because it's not wise to stand up in a canoe. We're mostly talking about topless exposure.
Canoe. Remember those ads?
Girl.
Canoe. Do you canoe? Do you canoe?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Canoe.
Canoe who?
Can you come out and play with me? That's like the first knock, knock joke I ever heard.
You know the best one of all time?
What?
Catch me if you can.
Oh, that's a good one.
And if we didn't have the delay problems, I'd actually say it to get a laugh out of you guys. Hit the delay button.
Oh, really?
Remember when they're in the car with Tom Hanks? Catch me if you can.
Oh, I remember. Like
and
that
movie. He's got the Boston accent. They go, do you ever laugh? And he goes, would you like to hear me tell you a joke? And he goes, yeah. He goes, knock, knock. And they go, who's there? And he goes, go F yourselves.
Wow. Right, and that's it.
I mean.
And do they laugh? No. Okay, no, they don't laugh, right?
But he does.
Right.
And he smiles.
He thinks it's funny.
Yeah, that's where Tom Hanks is great. He's not great as Forrest Gump. He's pretty good in that movie, though.
Well, they've banned nude canoeing. The county commissioners there in McDonald County, Missouri, have banned nudity on all county waters with a fine of up to $1,000.
That's a mighty fine rudder you've got there.
They say female nudist canoeists attacked a couple of women last weekend after they told the canoeists
nudist
to cover up in front of the kids.
This
they attacked them.
Carson Colby saying hi to the nudist canoeists.
They're good people, but not in front of the kids, okay?
Yeah. In sports, it's cremation night at the ballpark in Brevard County, Florida tonight.
Oh, wow.
At 7:05 this evening.
I'll drink to that.
The Manatees face the Sarasota Red Sox, but some lucky fan is going to win a free cremation. A $700 cremation donated by a local funeral home. Come on, lucky ticket.
You ever been to Sarasota? That's their demo down there.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
And finally, in Germany, a man very much in love.
Hi, this is Wolfgang Juretzek from Germany.
Man in love.
Never forget.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Wolfram.
He lighted hundreds of candles in his home in the shape of a heart, highlighting the message, "You set my heart on fire."
Hi, I will do this for my girlfriend. I will light hundreds of candles.
You see, express my love, my beautiful love for my beautiful woman.
His message, "You set my heart on fire," he set his house on fire. It took firefighters an hour to get the blaze under control. Now he says she won't even look at the pictures he took before the conflagration.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
But I love you, Leipzig. I love you. I only did this to express my love for you.
And in Salt Lake City, two young men decided it would be fun to throw some big mortar-type fireworks out the window of their moving car. Might have been more fun if they'd remembered to roll down the window first.
Wow.
Calling a cop, the passenger threw it out the window. It bounced back into his lap.
Oh!
24-year-old Adam is in fair condition and serious pain.
Joe.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
No.
No.
We gotta go. Good night, everybody.
Until we meet again.
Until next time.
Adios.
I'll let's see Monday.
I'll be the same.
We're back with a new episode. Monday we start on an FM station in Austin, Texas.
Yay.
Also an FM station in Fresno, California.
Cool.
And on just a fantastic AM daytimer in Houston. We will welcome those markets to a Monday show.
A fantastic affiliate for a fantastic city.
Thank you to the creepy people from the creepy website who are outside all day. You know your heart's in the right place. Also, Patty
Lama
from Celebrity Justice. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Have a safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. We'll be back Monday with a new episode.
Adios.
I see you.
Au revoir.
Okay.
I'll be the same.
Good night.
Good night.
You and I? What do you say?
I say Houston is a great town, friends.
Amen.
Hey, friends. Jim Houston. Jim Houston. Jim Houston here saying stand by for Carson Kobe.
Wipe your chin.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.